about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Woo! Yeah! Somebody make some motherfucking noise in here!
These people. If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hi. Oh, what is this? Is this butter?
In the shape of the great state of Iowa?
Oh.
If it melted, it would become Texas.
This is an absolutely stunning butter sculpture.
Thank you.
So let's tweet a picture of that.
Yeah.
And then let's find a refrigerator to put that in.
You know, butter doesn't need to be refrigerated. It can be unrefrigerated or refrigerated. So.
That's not true.
I think it's like a fruit that way.
No?
It's, okay.
And now, if they were a mood ring, they'd just be going off like a pinball machine.
Our feature presentation.
That's true. That's hard to argue with. Those mood rings, when they go off, man.
Stand back.
It's crazy.
It's just like a pinball machine.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:35, Thursday, the 10th of April.
I can barely think of anything else. I have Channel 2 on this morning because Stephanie Simmons is wearing that that yellow dress I like. She does the traffic. And they just ran a promo for Queen Latifah's talk show today.
Right.
Queen Latifah is going to be interviewing REO Speedwagon. And I'm trying to imagine a more forced Hollywood conversation than Queen Latifah and REO Speedwagon trying to find common ground.
That is sort of weird.
I can't imagine how that's going to go or what she possibly could know or have to say or care about REO Speedwagon.
And all of the other guests in the world are not available? You're down to REO already?
Look, there are shows. It would make sense to have REO Speedwagon on Jimmy Fallon, for instance. I could see Ellen doing REO Speedwagon. I can't see the Queen. I can't see the Queen having ever heard of REO Speedwagon until today.
It's not Speedwagon, by the way. If it was, it would be a very different band.
I may have to watch that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm saying I agree.
Hey, before we get going on today's excellent all-new Kevin and Bean show, where we have decided we are going to give 88% today. That's how confident we are in today's show being good. How about a how's the story end? It's been a while.
How does the story end, my friend? How does the story end?
Right. I love trying to figure out the legal system, especially when monetary awards from juries are involved. I love trying to guess how much somebody's getting versus how much they sued for.
Right.
Here's a story out of Culpeper, Virginia. A dispute at work between two employees of a wastewater treatment plant. Back in March of 2009, James Butler decided that he would get back at a guy he was having a problem in the office with named Michael Utz. So what he did was he peed into a soda can. And then dumped that into the other man's personal coffee pot in his office.
Okay.
So when Mr. Utz went to make a cup of coffee on March 16, 2009, the article says he was, quote, hit with a strong smell of urine, observing fluid already inside his coffee pot that he had not put in there. He notified his supervisor. They ran it to the lab, and they found out that it did, in fact, contain urine. So they called a meeting, and the other guy fessed up, and of course he was fired, and he was arrested, and he was sentenced to a misdemeanor assault, sentenced to a year in jail.
What?
11 months suspended. So he did a month, and had supervised probation after that, and paid court costs. Well, we live in America in the 21st century, so it never ends with whatever the state charges you with. Now you get sued civilly.
Right.
The guy didn't even drink the coffee.
That's correct. However, that did not stop him from suing and asking the court to award him $728,000.
Wow.
He asked for $378,000 in compensatory damages and $350,000 in punitive damages. So that's the amount he wanted, $728,000.
By the way, that almost sounds reasonable compared to all of the other lawsuits that are out there with the $40 million, $50 million, $100 million. Pain and suffering, all that nonsense.
Right. Mr. Butler did apologize, by the way, said, I've done something I'm very much ashamed of for a coworker, for reasons which are stress-related, things going on in my life, on and off the job. I'm very much ashamed of my stupid childlike behavior. And that obviously was not enough. So that's the lawsuit. So he wanted $750,000. I ask you, in this edition of How Does the Story End, how much was he awarded from the jury in Culpeper?
How does the story end?
I would say that since you brought this story up, it can't be something average. So right. It has to be either nothing or a ridiculous amount of money. So which way are we going on that one?
I'm going $100.
So nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, the guy has no money. This is stupid. The guy doesn't even have
a
job.
He is unemployed. That's true.
That's just stupid. But, yeah, I'm going to...
I'm going to go with Lisa, except for I'm going to go with zero.
Okay.
So I think zero, $100.
We're both guessing that it's going to be way, way, way low.
Mugs?
I don't think it was monetary. I think maybe the judge sentenced the guy to like some kind of like social class or something. I mean, like how not to pee into somebody's coffee. I don't know.
Do you not understand what civil cases are? The civil case is so that the person who is the victim of the crime gets some sort of redress or compensation. Sending the other guy to... Whatever what you call social classes doesn't do anything for the guy who brought the lawsuit.
I'd like more follow-up on the social class on how to not pee in coffee. I didn't know that that existed. I'd really like some details.
I love that Muggs, in any situation, has an answer that makes no sense.
All right, people, listen. If you need to pee, go to the bathroom. Class dismissed.
Class dismissed.
Well, guys, you were on the right track.
Yes.
He was awarded $1 in compensatory damages and $5,000 toward punitive damages. So it was probably worth his time, possibly, to file the lawsuit, depending on what his lawyer fees were.
Yeah, but you said 2009, so 5 years ago?
Yes, $5,001 is what he ended up being awarded for having someone pee, pour it into his coffee pot, and then him not drink it.
That guy's a dick.
If you're going to not drink it, you could fill it all the way up with pee, as far as I'm concerned. Hand it to me.
That's right.
And then I won't drink it, and I'll sue.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how the story ends.
That's how the story ends.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You are a dangerous man, spewing ignorance.
There's a Kevin and Bean ice cream. Who knew?
I didn't know. How could I not know?
How did that work? We'll find out.
Okay.
The good people at Cool House are dropping off some ice cream today.
Fantastic.
It's a Kevin and Bean flavor.
It's ice cream Thursday.
That's right. We do it every Thursday.
We do not.
We're going to talk about earthquake preparedness on today's show.
That sounds exciting.
As far as, because the last two earthquakes were pretty close together. Yeah. Got some people scared. The director of The Raid 2, Gareth Evans, is going to be on the show. I love that first
Very
Raid.
Cool.
That was so good.
Does he love the English, by the way?
I don't know.
I assume so. If he's being interviewed on our station, he
His
must.
His name is Gareth Evans.
I know.
Okay. All right. We are also going to give you some tickets for the MTV Movie Awards.
Cool.
Got a game for you for that. We have tickets for WonderCon. Got a game for you with that. Who you're going to be able to play that game with? The legendary Kevin Smith, who will be in our studios as well. And don't forget, Coachella is, it's tomorrow, to be honest. So you got a couple of more chances to win. The first one is at 9 a.m. this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beatdown. Sounds like Michael Jackson, what he used to do on his songs.
Remix!
Everyone on, yeah. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
Don't forget, Coachella tickets this morning for you at 9 a.m. People are getting desperate, by the way. We're getting a lot of emails now from, you don't understand.
Yeah.
I really need to go. Well, if you really need to go, then call at 9 o'clock when we give away the tickets, because that's how it works.
Snap.
I'm just saying, we're giving them away.
Put them in place.
What else can we do?
You go, boy.
Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning, 5:54. What the hell's going on?
Not to reduce the significance of Coachella Arts and Music Festival. But also giving away some WonderCon tickets.
That's true.
Today. Me and my comic book partner, Kevin Smith.
It's a game involving people having to trip you guys up?
Yeah. So,
good luck.
Listen for that as well. Oh, this is unbelievable. It's good news, but unbelievable news. Naya Rivera is back on the market. The beautiful and stunning star of Glee. Was engaged, to Big Sean, the rapper. But a rep for Big Sean tells Us Weekly magazine that he made the difficult decision to call off their wedding. Wishes his former fiance nothing but the best, and hopes they can, again in quotes, continue to work through their issues privately. How do you break up with Naya Rivera?
Yeah, well...
How do you make that choice? Look at her!
Yeah.
Then look at yourself!
Yeah.
Then look at her again!
Right.
Then one more look back at her. She's got to be a big pain in the ass.
Yeah, you would think, right?
I wouldn't think, but, no, but that's the only explanation for why you would break off an engagement with something as...
Based on him doing that, there has to be something.
As lovely and talented as Naya Rivera. Although, I don't know, she's gone blonde. She kind of looks like a Xerox of a Xerox of Kim Kardashian now.
Oh, no.
I always liked her when she was sort of raven-haired and...
I don't
exotic.
Think I've seen her in a while. I don't think I've seen her since she's gone blonde.
Yeah, go online.
Well, you've been missing some bikini photos then.
Open up a blog.
And a lot of speculation about whether there's been some enhancement there.
All right, Bean. Easy.
Easy. Just bringing Kevin up to date with what's going on with Naya.
All right. Okay.
I'm on Naya Watch 2014. Okay. You know that.
Open up a blog.
Okay. Good boy. Good boy. Yes, you are. Yes, you're a good boy. Gwyneth Paltrow, speaking of breakups.
She's a bitch.
her consciously uncoupled... soon-to-be ex-husband Chris Martin, all may not be all nicey-nice and consciously uncoupling, which would make me so thrilled and happy
well,
if that news were to break.
It certainly does seem like it's impossible what they were claiming.
Sources tell RadarOnline.com that Gwyneth is spreading and perhaps even making up stories about Chris's infidelity to damage his image in the hopes of walking away from the marriage with a larger settlement. Sources say she's looking for about a $25 million payday. The couple is worth, together, about $280 million net worth.
Wow. Wow.
Sorry, wrong one. The vast majority of that is him, right?
It's Chris, yes. And the insiders who told Radar Online the information said they think there could be an ugly financial showdown in the future.
Oh, no.
But yeah, why do you mean, oh, no?
Well,
oh, yes!
Ugly.
If they start sniping at each other and there's bitterness, and then it just deconstructs that whole BS conscious uncoupling thing she was trying to sell to us before.
Yeah,
it rips back the curtain and reveals it's all lies. The emperor has no clothes. This is a fun game. Let's play a fun game. We'll play a fun game.
All right, fun game.
Us Weekly magazine listed their favorite celebrity classic quotes from famous celebrities. Why don't I give you the quotes and you try to tell me who the celebrity is?
Okay.
I'm the best thing that ever happened to the Kennedy family.
I'm the best thing that ever happened to the Kennedy family.
Yeah.
Wow.
Gee. Boy, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No.
When asked on how did the Kennedy family feel about him marrying into it by marrying Maria Shriver, I'm the best thing that ever happened to that family. He said famously in 1985.
All right, good. Should have thought that, but
I guess given their history with assassinations,
that's true. Still,
it's possible. He's not the worst thing that happened to the family. That's
their family
sure.
goes down quickly.
Yeah. So this was said at a concert. I'm sure happy you all came out tonight. I need the money. You can't imagine how expensive it is to look this cheap.
That is Dolly Parton.
Wow, look at Bean.
Dolly Parton. Wow.
Kind of a famous quote for her, yeah.
This one isn't fair. I'll just tell you this one. Prince William,
yep.
when he was just 6 years old in 1988,
yep.
said famously to a little girl in
top
front
of their head.
A little girl, pretty much. Said to a little girl in front of the press, I am your boyfriend. If you don't marry me, I'll put you in jail. he knew he was the prince even then and what his powers were, which was pretty cute.
That's funny.
And then lastly, this one. Run for office? No. I've slept with too many women, I've done too many drugs, and I've been to too many parties.
Jerry Springer.
No, that's a good one.
I am going to say... Oh. That sounds familiar to me. Is it? I don't recall. It's an actor,
yes.
an actor who they're always trying to get into politics,
yes.
and he just says he's got too much baggage.
George Clooney. Well
George
done,
Clooney.
Kevin. Points
Excellent.
To Kevin. Points.
I get
points.
Fantastic.
And Chris
first
Hardwick.
Time.
All of a sudden. Yeah. All right. That was a fun game.
I like to
play that again sometime.
I like it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Boy, just a lot of birthdays. Let me give you the highlights. Sportscaster John Madden.
I miss him.
He's still alive. Inexplicably.
That last
commercial I saw him on TV, and knowing how much editing they could do on the commercial, and he still seemed as old
as
he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was he must be tough to work with at this point.
He's 78 years old today. Actor Steven Seagal. Now there's a man who's easy to work with.
That's sure. right.
He's 63.
I should respect his authority.
Great character actor Peter McNichol. I loved him. Remember him on Ally McBeal?
He's great.
Oh, yeah.
He's a great actor. 60 years old today. Singer-producer Babyface is 56. Brian Setzer, formerly, of course, of the Stray Cats. Now he has his own big band. 55 years old. Orlando Jones is 46. Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy, 34 years old
when
today.
When does that show come back?
September.
There you go. All right. Here's beer mug with
it's
the
not
answer.
Not soon enough.
Mandy Moore is 30 years old today. Barkhad Abdi. He's the captain now.
I am the captain now.
He is 29 years old today. Haley Joel Osment.
I see dead people.
Soon to be seen in Kevin Smith's new film, Tusk. I got to work with Haley, and he is just a sweetheart of a guy. He's 26 years old today. Alex Pettyfer. He's a good-looking fella. 24 years old. And A.J. McCulka of Ally and A.J. She's 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Right now, Ralph Garman joins us in studio. Ralph, you're shaking your head. You got problems? What's going on, buddy?
Not problems. It's just my home is no longer my own. I don't know what's going on there, but it's getting crazy.
What's happening? Neighbors?
No,
friends,
I come home every
aunts?
Day. I get home every day now.
Aunts?
and it's a new adventure every day because when I come home, I'll tell you what my past couple weeks have been. I come home. And I get to the front door, and I can't get through the front door because there's a massive box in front of the front door. It's been dropped off by our UPS guy.
Okay.
And inside, I read on the side of it, it says, 12-person tent.
12-person tent?
Yes.
And you think, clearly, I didn't order this.
I'm thinking, wow, the circus is coming to town, but I know I didn't order a tent. Why is there a tent at my home?
Are you going to Coachella and you don't know it?
I couldn't imagine why a tent would come to my home. And then a few days later, two more, even bigger boxes in front of my door. Literally can't pass through the door. Massive outdoor storage containers.
Okay.
Hard plastic storage containers that need to be assembled and put together. And I said, what is going on in my home? So I asked my wife, I said, you know anything about these packages that are arriving at the house? And she said, yes, we are going to get prepared for the earthquake. We are now engaged in full-on earthquake preparedness mode.
You didn't make that decision together?
No,
she just took it
upon herself to get our household up to speed with earthquake preparedness.
Look, you don't wait for other people to get ready for the big one. If it's in your heart to do it, you just do it, man.
Take it easy, doomsday prepper.
I'm with her.
So now I'm married to a doomsday prepper.
You are. When is that scheduled for, Ralph? I did not see the date on that.
For the big one?
Yeah,
I don't know exactly when it's scheduled in. I think it's just before Thanksgiving.
Okay,
all right.
But now I know at my house, in case the home is no longer inhabitable, I will be living in my backyard in a giant tent. That's good.
That is good.
Who would be happier in a tent than Ralph?
No one. I love me some camping.
Sure.
We've got massive containers filled to the brim with supplies. We've got
food and water.
We have.
Weapons
of mass destruction. We are completely decked out, and I know in my heart of hearts it's absolutely the right thing to do.
Right.
But my brain of brains is saying, this is nuts.
Maybe a little overkill.
That's what I think, maybe.
Before we talk to your wife, who happens to be on the phone, Ralph, here's what she told us is going on at your house.
I've got guns, bullets, lots of bullets. Lots of bullets.
So apparently you're going to be set in case they're marauding neighbors like Lisa tried to get in and get in some of your food, right?
Don't come into my tent in my backyard,
come
Lisa.
Come on, it's for 12. There's not 12 of you.
When the big one hits, because we have no room for you.
Oh.
Let's go to your wife, shall we? And find out just exactly what's going on.
The lovely Carrie, is she on the phone?
Hi, Carrie.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
Hello, Carrie.
Good morning, sweetheart. Why are you turning our home into a refuge?
It's going to happen, and when it does, we're going to be prepared.
You're going to be hailed as the greatest human being alive.
Well, you know, the only thing that I can remember is that when the Northridge quake hit, nobody was going back immediately after the quake and living in their house.
Well, that's true.
Carrie
that was really scary.
Out in the front yard.
Yeah.
Carrie lived in Northridge when the Northridge hit.
Oh, wow.
And her two-floor apartment building became a one-floor apartment building.
Oh, not good.
So she has...
Wow.
She has no love for earthquakes.
Now, Carrie, was it the first one that happened a couple of weeks ago or the one that happened? Was there one last week? There was like two different.
It was St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day, okay.
Was one, and then there was the Brea one most recently. Yeah.
Well, which one of those made you decide that it was time to build a shelter?
I think it was the Brea one.
The Brea one.
It just got to me, and I thought to myself, you know, we've all become so complacent because it's been 20 years.
Yeah.
But it's coming. It is going to hit, and when it does, we will be able to walk out of our house and set up camp in the backyard and live in our tent.
How much live in our backyard?
How long do you have as far as food and water? I mean, in time. Like, do you have a couple of weeks worth?
Yes, I do.
Wow. What if I were to join you then? Would you have almost a couple of weeks worth?
I'm not sure. sure about that.
No.
Well, we might be okay on food, but we might run out of the Jack Daniels a little early.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That's what she was putting. She was literally packing stuff into these giant plastic containers that we're going to have outside by the side of our house so you can get to them.
Right.
After your house has collapsed. And it's got water and food and first aid stuff in there. And I told her, I said, you better put a couple bottles of Jack Daniels in there. A
lot of booze.
Because
sure.
I'm going to need a drink.
Right.
Hey, I have a question for Nancy from Zeta Talk myself. And that is, why not just go for it and get some livestock out there and start planting some crops so you could live for years out in the backyard if you needed to?
Bean, you know, that's a great idea. And I had a question for Ralph.
Yes, honey.
Instead of doing all of this, there is one other thing we could do.
Yeah, what's that?
We wouldn't have to have all the packages at the front door.
No.
We could just buy a motorhome.
Oh, stop it with the motorhome.
Oh, motorhome.
A unit. We could just hop in it. We could live in it. It would have a generator, and off we go into the sunset.
I think that's brilliant.
You do have to still be able to buy gasoline somewhere, and of course, you know, unless you want to, you know, start hoarding gas as well.
But let's be honest.
They don't have to drive away. They just have to live in it.
Well, let's be honest, too,
though. Let's just move. Let's move to another state. That way we won't have to worry about any
North
of this.
North Dakota, no earthquakes.
That's
you need,
right.
You need to buy a house in every state. Now, Carrie, are you working on the missile silo that you're going to burr down into your backyard so that you can all go down in there and live and nobody will know you're there?
You know, I'm not, because I'm not as worried about that as I just am as worried about the earthquake.
Yeah. She doesn't need the bomb shelter. She doesn't
need the bomb shelter. I just need to be prepared for the earthquake.
Hey, I watch The Walking Dead. Sometimes
I do have face masks.
You have face masks.
We do have face masks.
We have ventilator masks in the garage.
Yeah, and we just got the latest package was a battery operated wet dry vac.
In case you need to vacuum quickly.
No, it's because when the earthquake happens, glass is going to break and shatter all over the floors of your house.
Okay.
And if your house is still inhabitable, you can't live in it with glass all over the floor.
Sure.
So what you're going to do, Kevin, is you're going to say, let's vacuum up this glass. Oh, wait, we have no power for a week.
Ah.
But we do have our battery-operated wet-dry vac.
Wow, she's thought it through.
See, I'm telling you, this is for real.
Wow. But it's so smart, though. I mean, it's something that many people should be doing.
And I know.
I think when Carrie talked about the complacency that we all have, I think it's because the Southern California region is so big that even if there's a huge earthquake, most of the damage is going to be focused in one small area like the Northridge quake was. That one apartment building collapsed, but most people weren't homeless as a result of that. Very few people were actually homeless as a result of that. You just think it's not going to hit me. That's what most of us think.
Yeah, it's true. And actually, there were more than a couple hundred people homeless from the Northridge earthquake.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people, their buildings were red tagged.
All right, I'm going to go through those of us on the show, and I would like a thumbs up or a thumbs down as to whether we're welcome when the big one hits. Bean?
Ralph's going to do this.
Bean? Well, he'll be on the island. He's really not in play here.
Okay, me?
Kevin, of course you're welcome, of course.
Thank you. Yes. Except for your alcohol, you're going to have to hide.
That's true, yeah.
Lisa?
Can I come?
Because you know she'll bring a pet.
Why am I in the bubble?
Yeah, because I'm thinking there's going to be a service animal.
4 pounds.
I've already got Reggie. They may not get along. All right, you're in. You made the cut.
King of Mexico?
What?
King of Mexico?
Yeah, Dave.
Sister producer Christine?
Yes. I'll say yes.
Omar with the hair?
Oh, absolutely, Omar. Because okay. we're going to need some fat beats.
Right.
So I'm going to get him a battery-operated turntable.
Speaking of fat, mugs.
What do you think?
Not enough food.
Unless we get down to start eating people, beer mug will be useless.
Lisa, we know our boy Kevin, right? We know what he's like when it comes to the movies.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine how great the Raid Redemption has to have been for Kevin to go and love it and still be talking about it from back in 2011. And it's not even in English.
I saw it 3 times in the theater.
And it's not even in English. And you're Kevin and you loved this movie that much.
I had to read.
I know. And reading is for losers. But you did it because the movie was worth it. Well, your wait is finally over for the sequel because the Raid 2 is going to be in theaters on March the 28th. We could not be more excited to welcome to the program the director and writer of both films, Mr. Gareth Evans, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hi, Gareth. How are you, sir?
I am good. How are you all doing?
Very good. Thank you.
We're great. We're so happy to have you on. I'm dying to talk about the movie, but I want to ask you first, what's it like living in Indonesia, where I understand you're home-based out of now as a result of making these films? I mean, most of us can't even imagine what that part of the world's like.
It's pretty hot.
Yeah.
It's a big, big difference from the UK. But yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, people have been great out there. Been welcome. Been there for nearly 7 years now. So yeah, it's been a good change.
And Indonesia is the world's most populous Muslim country. I know that, and we hear these stories sometimes about about how restricted the women are and the things that you can and can't do and can and can't say. Have you run into problems like that, or is it a pretty easygoing place to live for you?
Not really. I mean, like, Indonesia itself is a pretty moderate, like, it's mostly, like, moderate Muslims, so it's very kind of, like, you know, open, and, you know, it's not quite the image that people get sometimes from abroad. I mean, the guys I've worked with, all the people I've worked with, they've been very sort of, like, progressive thinkers, and I've been, you know, lucky to kind of be a part of that.
Now, the first Raid Redemption was awesome, but you wrote and directed it, right? What exactly was the pitch for that? Because it really is about a one-sentence pitch, and then there's so much action that it's just it beats you over the head, and you walk out black and blue.
Yeah, well, weirdly, it was one of those things where the first movie, it was kind of made out of frustration, really, because I've been trying to get this other movie up and running for 2 years, which ended up becoming The Raid 2. So we'd written this script way back when, and we tried to get the money in place, couldn't get the funds in place, and so we ended up going off to make The Raid. And The Raid Redemption was that, like, a B-side, like a Plan B project for us.
Oh, interesting.
So I was really frustrated. I'd been wanting to make a film for over 2 years, and then suddenly I got this opportunity to do something on a much lower budget, but I thought, you know what, I'm going to throw everything at it. So I'm going to try elements of horror, survival horror, and thriller elements and intention-building moments, but then throw in gunplay and martial arts into the mix and just see if it fits.
Those of you that didn't see the original Raid Redemption, it was just a giant building with a gangster that runs the town at the top, and the cops have to fight their way up. And it's unbelievable the amount of action and fighting. And how many different styles of martial arts did you use?
Well, we tend to, like, our main action hero, like Iko Uwais, who plays Rama in the films, he tends to stick to his own style of silat, which is the Indonesian martial arts. But whenever we kind of put him up against other fighters, then we figure out, you know, what their strengths are, what their background is, and we try to kind of incorporate their martial art within their skill set then. So it can be like a lot of different styles in there, but the primary focus is on silat.
Now, I've read a little bit about silat just in, in researching for your films, Gareth, and it sounds fascinating and unlike martial arts that we know here in the West. Does it have some sort of basis in watching animals? Do I understand that correctly?
I mean, there's almost over 200 different styles of silat that exist in Indonesia alone. And each one is very, very different from the next. I mean, there's one style which you probably would love. It's called Chimande style. And that's like focused on the idea of, like, you know, breaking bones.
Yeah.
It's all about, like, joint breaks and stuff like that. But then they also have this thing then called Chimande oil, which is used to heal and repair broken bones. So there's this, like, weird sort of contrast. It's really interesting for me is that idea of if you do win a fight, then it's your responsibility to make sure that the person you fought against is healed and repaired afterwards as well. So there's this weird kind of, like, twisted beauty within it.
That is absolutely fascinating. This is the voice of director and writer Gareth Evans here on The Kevin DeBean Show. We're talking about his new film called The Raid 2, which is in theaters on March the 28th.
March 28th is behind us.
Hey, it says was released on March 28th. You're absolutely right, Kevin. So it's in theaters now, I guess, is what I should be saying.
Is it, Gareth?
It's going wide tomorrow on the 11th.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, okay, great.
We opened limited on the 28th, and now we're expanding out wide now this week.
Fantastic.
So tell me how difficult it is. I mean, obviously, you created some of the greatest fight scenes in movie history with the first Raid movie. Tell me how difficult it is to film those things. Is it just painstaking and slow, and you do it in five-second increments, or is it so well rehearsed that you can let the camera roll for minutes at a time?
Well, for me, I'm all right. I just get to sit down and tell people to go again and again and again.
Sure.
For the fighters, it tends to be a little bit more of an endurance test. But, it's the latter. We tend to do it in these 2 to 3, 4, 5 second increments and just, like, start the parts together. The way we design the choreography is we spend a hell of a lot of time working on it and trying to figure out how we want it to look. And then we shoot, like a pre-vis video storyboard, which dictates every shot, every edit of how that fight is going to look in the final film. And so then what will happen is when it comes to the actual shoot, then we start going through it in chronological order. We go through it shot by shot by shot. Every shot is like a jigsaw piece.
That sounds like an editing nightmare.
Actually, to be honest, it's for me because I edit my films. It's a lot easier for me because I already have like a blueprint I can follow. I already have like a guide track.
Oh, I see.
So when we shoot those shots, then once we've got them and we lock them in on production, I've already got my edit sat down on the timeline, so I can just drop those shots in and just replace them. And then the reason why we do that first and foremost is that it's like a safety net. So if anything goes wrong, if like two shots won't cut together for some reason now in the production version, then I can see it and I can know while we're still on location, oh, we need to fix this, we need to put an extra insert here or an extra insert there to kind of, you know, tidy up the scene as a whole.
Oh, very smart. In our remaining moments here, sir, I wanted to ask, because the first movie was such a success, you spent X amount and you made so much more than that, were there some things you were able to do in the sequel that you were excited about, that you had the money to do now?
Yeah, well, I mean, I got to finally play around with cars this time, which was a big sort of thing that we were dying to do. And, you know, obviously, for obvious reasons, in the first movie, we couldn't do anything with cars, seeing as we were inside a building the entire way throughout. So this one was one of those opportunities where we expanded the storyline and took it outside of the building, onto the streets, and it was very sort of liberating to us then because we could do anything we wanted. And so a car chase was the next, you know, step up for us in terms of what we wanted to achieve on an action level.
I'll tell you, one of the things that I like the most about action movies is that hero who can fight, oh, I don't know, 100 people at a time. Keep track of everybody that's coming at him. I mean, it gets crazy, the odds against this guy. And halfway through, you think, how is he not dead? Is the second one more of that, or is it about the same?
We put him through quite a lot of punishment in this one, actually. And it's one of those things, like, when it comes to martial arts films, there's always a certain sort of, like, you know, exaggeration and, you know, fantastical elements in terms of how many people he can fight and also for how long he can fight.
Right.
Because the fights are always stretched out beyond reality. But, we also kind of tried to balance that a little bit by having him take on quite a lot of punches himself. So, like, there's a certain vulnerability there then to him as a person as well. So, by the end of the movie, he's not able to fight anyone anymore by the end of the movie for a while.
I know that you have to go. I just want to play a quick clip for those of you that want to get the sense for what the movie is. There you go. That's your clip.
The Raid 2 in theaters now, expanding even wider tomorrow. Gareth Evans, director and writer of the film. So great to have you on the show. Continued success, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Director, producer, screenwriter, actor, author, podcaster, comic book writer, Kevin Smith joined us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Ralph Garman, his partner, is here now with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Guy can't keep a job. That Smith.
He does, right? Bounce around.
Yeah. It's like a handyman. It's like a Hollywood handyman. Just go around fixing people's problems. Well, Beans people are out in force.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Have you seen the new cover of Rolling Stone magazine?
I've not.
It's got the lovely and talented Julia Louis-Dreyfus on the cover.
Okay.
And she is nude. Uh-oh. And she's got her back to the camera. She looks great.
Okay.
And on her back, there is a full fake tattoo of the Constitution.
Okay.
She plays the vice president, of course, on television, so a little political tie-in.
Right.
And it starts with We the People, and it's, you know, all the way written all the way down, and at the bottom, it's signed by, of course, John Hancock. Well, Beans people ignored her nudity and said, John Hancock didn't sign the Constitution. He signed the Declaration of Independence. So now everybody's complaining that there's the wrong signature on the bottom of the Constitution because John Hancock...
As well they should, by the way.
That's
an unforgivable error.
Unforgivable.
Seriously.
It's embarrassing, but unforgivable is a little strong.
It is embarrassing. Who would make a mistake like that? Like the person who was in charge of putting the Constitution on her back, how could they screw that up?
People out there in life make mistakes.
And don't really care that much. I'm sure it was just for a gag. And that's a famous signature. I guess they throw it on there, and it would just visually look interesting. But
that's funny.
A lot of strongly worded letters going to Rolling Stone.
You have to tell me.
See what I'm talking about?
Did he write one?
Of course he did.
Oh, dear God.
You should know better.
Well, now I guess we both learned something.
Gives Bean something to do, so.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus was very funny about it. She tweeted out as her character, and she blamed it on Mike.
Oh, good.
Saying her communications director screwed it up and it was all his fault. Another Mike F up, she tweeted. So
I like it.
It worked out.
That beep is so funny.
Did you watch the premiere?
Yes. Awesome.
just laugh out loud funny, but I'm worried about Jonah.
I am too.
We need Jonah in our lives, right?
Stupid Jonah was in the studio. We were talking to him.
Tim
we're all
Simons
having a good
on
time.
The show, and suddenly now he's got a box of his stuff out of his desk, and they're throwing him out of the West Wing.
Oh, spoiler alert!
Oh, yeah, spoiler alert. But I get the sense he'll be back.
I certainly hope so.
Because what's the show without Jonah? That's what I'm saying. I guess Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber are back on again. In that relationship meter. PerezHilton.com has photos of the two of them heading to a Miami recording studio together last Tuesday. I guess to record some music. Where Justin's going to record and she's going to watch and look at him all dreamy-eyed. What would it take to break up with a person? What does Selena Gomez need?
No kidding.
How much
SEAL Team 6?
How much evidence to the contrary that he's a good guy would she have to see in order to say, you know what, maybe I'll date someone else?
I mean, even if she's being treated well by him, even if that's not the issue, she has to look at the other stuff he does and goes, this guy's a douche.
Right?
Right.
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 Maybe it's that Romeo and Juliet teen love thing where she just can't get past it, but it's stunning to me that he continued to be the douchebag he is. And she says, yeah, I'm going to get back together with him again. I mean, plus they've been broken up and back together again half a dozen times.
Yeah.
Madness. This guy's my new favorite guy in the world. Makeup artist Sir John. Have you ever heard of Sir John?
I have not.
First of all, if you're a makeup artist and you call yourself Sir John, we already have problems. But now we know just how much Sir John thinks of himself.
Is his first name Nelton? Because then it would make sense.
No, it's just Sir John.
Oh.
Told Glamour magazine, he is Beyonce's makeup artist.
Okay.
He told Glamour magazine that when he goes on tour with Beyonce, he uses his... What kind of abilities do you think I'm going to say? He uses the
magical.
My blank abilities.
Blank abilities.
To make her up.
Magical? I don't know.
Very close. Psychic.
Psychic?
His psychic abilities.
Are you kidding?
To make up Beyonce. The look depends on her mood. I know this sounds crazy, but I am psychic. I can feel if today's a lip day.
Come on.
Or if she's a little more fired up, I'll do a winged cat eye. Stop it. Stop it, Sir John.
He's reading her mood. So what? She walks in, she's angry, you do one thing.
You know what he's doing? He's putting makeup on her face.
Right.
Let's stop making our jobs better than they are, okay? You're not a psychic. You're not making a masterpiece. You're just making her look good with makeup.
And by the way, she started out looking good.
Right. Very hard to screw that up. Yeah. I could do her makeup and make her look pretty good.
I would like
you all... She could go to the Mac counter at Nordstrom, and whoever the girl is working there could make her look pretty good, Sir John, the psychic makeup artist.
I would like everybody here to start calling me Sir Kevin, though.
You know what? I will call you nothing else from now on.
Okay, good.
I'm a psychic. Ooh, today's a lip day. Oh, you know how you knew that? Because she needs lipstick!
Kevin, you're not giving up on being the Duke of Tarzana, though, are you?
Oh, I gave that up a long time ago, yeah. I moved past it. Now I'm just Sir Kevin.
Psychic. Stop it. Look, I know it's an art to putting on makeup. I get that. I've met many professional makeup artists. They do amazing work. But at the end of the day, he's not making her look like a zombie, okay?
Right.
He's putting on mascara and eyeshadow and lipstick.
Which requires how much psychic ability?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
What?
I would not interrupt with late-breaking news unless it were not important and something that we will all be excited to hear.
Is this late-breaking, local, and legendary?
That's how we do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Bean.
Via our friend Mike Catherwood.
Oh.
Quote, I'm a dad.
Yay!
How about that?
Congratulations, Michael.
Just spoke with him yesterday about how he was getting ready to have this baby at home, and she was due any minute now, and apparently it has happened. That's all we have right now. Hopefully we'll have more information very soon here, but congratulations to Mike and Bianca. I hope everything went great.
Well, I guess it did. I guess they had it in their bathtub, and the dogs ate the placenta, and everything worked out.
as planned.
Have three terrifying words ever been, more terrifying words ever been said?
No.
By anyone than Michael Catherwood saying, I'm a dad. I just want to rush in and grab that little child and just
wrap them in bubble wrap.
Take it to my teat. Nurse it. Protect it somehow.
I would like to see that as well.
I'm not sure how that whole thing works.
I don't think it works.
But I want to do something. I want to do what I can. Today's spectacular celebrity birthdays. A lot of celebrities born today. Sportscaster John Madden, 78 years old today. He, of course, for many, many years, covered the NFL for Fox and for CBS. And he retired about 10 years too late.
Yeah. Come on.
He was awful, Kevin.
He's the best.
He was awful.
Both.
You liked him because he was awful.
I liked him for the same reasons you hate him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would get in the way of the game for me quite often.
I mean, nonsensical, just went on forever. Yeah. Of course he's my hero.
Just random.
That's what I do.
Nonsensical gobbledygook.
Yeah, that's Carolina barbecue, pulled pork.
Pulled pork.
Yeah, that's a good way to have pork, I'll tell you that. Pulled pork and coleslaw, poof.
Better than pork chops.
They put it in a smoker first, it looked like. And they kind of smoked it, then they grilled it. And then they cut it.
By the way, there is a game going on.
I can hear it. I can hear a game.
A pork chop sort of dry, yeah. But pulled pork is moist.
I think because they put it in the they put it in the smoker and it's a slow cooking thing. They don't. I think they cook a pork chop. What the heck do I know? I think they cook a pork chop faster, and I think they slow cook pulled pork.
Thank you, Julia Child.
The quarterback's trying to yell above them.
They're all
great 80.
Playing a game.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the 49ers are trying to get to the Super Bowl, and this is what John's talking about.
I miss him.
Steven Seagal, 63 years old today.
How can you miss him? You are him.
How dare you?
Look in the mirror. Peter McNichol. We mentioned last hour his work in Ally McBeal, which I always thought was spectacular, but we forgot. Bean brought up Sophie's Choice, and Muggs brought up Ghostbusters 2. He was Janosch.
That's right.
Just a great career. Let's have him on. Have we ever had him on?
We have. We have had him on.
Yes, we have. Let's have him on again. I don't remember. He's 60 years old today. Babyface, singer and producer, is 56. Brian Setzer is 55 years old today. Comedian Orlando Jones turns 46. Charlie Hunnam from SOA, like the kids call it, 34 years old. Andre Ethier, Los Angeles Dodgers outfielder, turns 32 years old. Andrew Dost of Fun is 31 years old. Mandy Moore is 30. Barkhad Abdi, Oscar-nominated actor from Prince of Tides. Nope.
I think Captain Phillips, maybe.
Pirates of the Caribbean. Pirates of Penzance.
It's really Captain Phillips.
Oh,
yeah.
29 years old today. Haley Joel Osment, soon to be seen in the smash hit horror film Tusk. 26 years old today. Alex Pettyfer is 24. And A.J. McCulka of Ally and A.J. fame is 23. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
So it's just another day at the world-famous K-Rock when Jay and Silent Bob walk in.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Hey, guys, how are you?
We were leaning on a wall outside.
They were.
And we heard the radio playing.
I bought some drugs for them, and I said, why'd you guys come in? There's some people inside who would like some drugs as well.
I would say we were having a conversation, but only one of us was talking.
Exactly. And not the one you think. So welcome back, Kevin Smith. Hi, Jason. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Hello.
Jason,
good.
To be good fair, to just to put it out there, he was ill-prepared to come on the radio. He was my ride.
Okay.
That's right. No problem. But I was like, come on in. And so here he is.
Of course.
Tell me something kind of interesting this morning where we're driving. And this is what I noticed while I was driving with Muse, because I'm rarely in the passenger seat with Jason really anymore. As he gets older, Jason's going to be 40.
Okay.
We got an anniversary of 40th birthday party coming up at the Comedy Store when his birthday happens, which is in June. But as Jason approaches 40, all the edge has been gone, just sapped out of him by his young wife. He's on this forced diet where he's like, I lost 14 pounds on Jordan's diet. Jordan's his wife. And I was like, what's Jordan's diet? And essentially,
she doesn't feed me.
Yes. No, she does feed me. But
she crams hummus in his mouth now.
Yeah.
Don't stick your head in his hummus.
She actually does cook, but now she cooks healthy stuff like chicken and salad where I was eating, you know, two double doubles,
sure.
A bag of donuts,
to be fair,
seven Red Bulls.
You were never heavy, though. You were never a big guy.
But listen to this. No. You all know how big I am. I would look at the way he ate, and I was like, there, but for the grace of God. He ate so horribly. Even a fat man would be like, he ate poorly. He would
You should have a salad.
Really? Buy three bags of those Hostess donuts, those little white things, and just inhale them up every orifice.
And that doesn't even count as food. The FDA won't let them call that food.
I don't think he pulled any nutrition from it. So he's on this forced diet and he's lighter. He's telling me about it. But the thing is, whenever he talks now, when he's driving, he slows down like an old man. Like all of a sudden you're in a coffee clutch and he forgets to drive and he just turns around and he slows to 10 miles. I'm like, dude, we gotta go. I was like, tell your story while we're speeding down.
He's become old. Have you ever had your hair cut from somebody who cannot cut hair and talk at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. You know what that's
comes
like?
A 2-hour haircut.
Exactly. Yeah. Same sort of thing driving with Jason. That's hilarious.
Hey, Mr. Smith, you've got a lot going on, as you always do. We got a lot of ground that we want to cover. Later on this hour, by the way, we're going to give away WonderCon tickets, an event that both you and Ralph are going to be at. But you have an evening with Kevin Smith coming up tomorrow night. It's been a while since you've done one of these, and this is going to be at 8 o'clock at the Ontario Improv ahead of the already sold-out Babylon that you guys are doing at 10, right?
Yeah, we did Babylon sold out at 10, but there was a show, I think somebody just died.
It was John Panette.
Was that his show?
Yeah, John was supposed to be the 8 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
I guess John Panette was the 8 o'clock show, so they're like, John passed away. Can you jump in real quick? So I'm going to just do an evening with there.
And for folks who don't know what the evenings with are like, yeah, tell them about it.
Basically, you ask questions and I try to provide some funny and some honesty and stuff like that. You could see me online, YouTube, all over asking questions. That's what I've given up filmmaking. I just answer questions.
That does sort of be your
most of the
your
questions
wheelhouse.
Are like, why'd you give up filmaking?
And
I'm like,
but now
you've made another film, you've got nothing to say.
That's true. We got
you're not very good at giving up filmmaking.
Let's start with that.
The podcast brought me back. We all know this story. The podcasts that became the central hub of my life, and everything else became a spoke off of it. And this film kind of came out of the podcast, so boom, we're suddenly back there. And this movie Tusk is such a Smodcast picture. It's filled with like all these dopey Easter eggs. If you've been listening to the podcast for as many years as we've been doing them at Smodcast.com, you'll hear like our entire history spread out. So when it was time to score the movie, I turned to a dude named Chris Drake, who has done a bunch of Warner Brothers scores. He did the Dark Knight Returns animated two-parter. He's done great work. But he was a guest on Fat Man on Batman. We had a great chat. And so I was like, you know what, man? If I need a score, I'm going to him. I went to him. Then I wanted a closing song for the movie. And I remembered another person that we had on Smodcast as a guest once. It was a two-parter, man. My Chemical Bromance, it was called, and Two-Way Street. Gerard Way and Mikey Way came over. And we sat down, talked. We were all from Jersey, didn't know each other and stuff
like
that.
That's pretty cool.
Very, very cool. And then the second part of the podcast was we took Welcome to the Black Parade and literally broke it down line for line. So we'd play it and I'd stop. I was like, what'd that mean? And they were very patient, very cool, went through the whole thing. So they had been guests on Smodcast. Gerard's such an adorable pixie of a wonderful human being.
He is just the nicest guy in the world.
Love
and
the dude.
And big comic book fan and writer and creator.
Crossover very much in our world. Yeah. He's like a much thinner, way more talented me. So, you know, a lot of same interests. So when we were like, hey, man, I want to put a song at the end of this picture, I reached out to Gerard. And Gerard, and I just tweeted the other day, Gerard recorded this song for us that ends Tusk. And it's based on this old 1600s folk song from England called Oh Wally Wally. Some people call it The Water is Wide. But it is so achingly beautiful. This is one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard. It haunting. It's a song it's about hopeless, undying love. And most great songs are.
Right.
That's where it hits us hard. But this is a song.
In showbiz it would be meetings with people and people and people, not just a tweet back and forth.
That was it. It was all. I emailed them too because we'd stayed in touch. But it's all predicated on the podcast, man. But he delivered absolute gold. And it is a heartbreaking end to the movie. The movie's weird, man. It's all over the place and it has a very like kind of down ending. And this is, it makes it even more so. It so beautifully underscores the entire like last shot of the movie and brings you into the credits.
Fantastic.
Even if you hated the movie, you'd be like, I'm gonna stick around, listen.
Can I tell you a quick story about Gerard Way?
Fire.
Welcome to the Black Parade was the song they used for the Kings when they were going to the Cup.
Yes. Right?
And so then Kings were playing New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So now Gerard Way's in the audience and they shoot over him. He's got a New Jersey shoot. They're like, woo, wait a minute. No, boo.
People were confused.
Very confused because that song had become the song.
I love him, but I hate him.
It was the anthem of the run to the Cup.
It was.
Oh, oh God, I love that
there
song.
There he was in his New Jersey shirt.
You guys got the last laugh, so it all matters.
That's correct.
It all worked out.
I can't wait to hear that song. I love The Water is Wide. It's a great, great song. It's been done by hundreds of artists, but I can't wait to hear what he does with it because
Only Bean would know an antique folk song from the 1600s.
It's a great song. But let me ask you this, Kevin. In all the time you spent with Gerard going through the Mike Hamm stuff and talking to him, did you ever find out why they broke up?
No, I mean,
because they were never vocal about the reasons.
We did those two podcasts right before he announced that. So there was
podcast was probably it.
Yeah, I was like, you should leave these guys.
It's on you, man.
I think it was just like some artists like a few years ago. I was like, I'm leaving filmmaking. Sometimes you just get to a place where you're like, I've emptied the tank.
Yeah.
And maybe he felt like that was as far as he could possibly go with My Chemical Romance, and now he just wants to start another stage or something. But we know bands are like comic book characters yeah. that get killed off. Right. They're never dead.
Right. Like Rage Against the Machine has come back how many times?
Everyone eventually reforms. The Police reformed, for heaven's sake.
But like, I wonder with this solo song, and it will be billed as a Gerard Way solo song, right?
Yes.
I wonder if he maybe thought he was done with music when he broke up My Chem, but now maybe he'll go on and have a solo career instead.
I don't want to speak for him, but he's been in the studio recording
oh, great.
Solo
That's
stuff.
Awesome.
So I believe he has a full solo album, and he's getting ready to go out on the road within the next few months or
Can't
year
wait.
Or something.
So, not wanting to speak for him, that was a lot. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah. You can see Gerard. He's very what a golden god he was, though. Like, you asked the dude, and he was just like, oh, I showed him the movie, and the movie wasn't even finished. We were still missing some scenes at the end, which we've since shot. But he, I said, do you think he could do something for the end? There was the main character, the Howard Howe character that Michael Parks plays, sings a few verses of that song. So I was like, maybe we close the movie with that. And he was like, let me see. And he was like, I love this because I never adapted somebody else's music, covered somebody else and made it kind of right. modern. But it is beautiful. It is equally appropriate, ironically. I sat there listening to it. I've listened to it like 20 times. You could play it at a wedding. And you could play it at a funeral; it would be equally appropriate. That is
wow.
a classical piece of music.
If you married a dead person,
that'd be the perfect use of it.
Twice as relevant.
You can Absolutely. Do that with Brick House too. I don't know if you're aware.
All right, we need to take a break.
Yes, we do. Kevin Smith is here, by the way. An Evening With is going to be tomorrow night at the Ontario Improv. This just came up, so that's why there are still some tickets available. You can go to improv.com or csmod.com. Just $25 to see Kevin at the 8 o'clock show, and then of course Ralph and Kevin are sold out with their Hollywood Babylon at 10. But that's what you want to do. If you want to go see him tomorrow night, we'll talk more Tusk, talk more other stuff with the guys, and give away some tickets for you to join them at WonderCon. It's all straight ahead here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Weekend after next, the Anaheim Convention Center welcomes the 27th annual WonderCon. It's going to be April 18th through the 20th. Ralph Garman, you and your friend Kevin Smith are both going to be there doing what?
Yeah, DC Comics is having a special panel at WonderCon celebrating the 75th anniversary of Batman. As a character, it was 75 years ago wow. that Batman debuted in Detective Comics number 27. And so to celebrate, they are having a panel of a lot of artists and writers who are working on Batman, both past and present. And they've asked Kevin and myself to sit in because we have done this 1966 Batman Meets the Green Hornet comic book that comes out in June.
And then we turn them down flat. And we said, we're not going to do this. We're bigger than this. WonderCon, I wonder if we're going.
I want to hear all about you guys and your work on the book. But first, let's open up the phones at 1-800-520-1067. If you would like to be there in person to see this and enjoy everything that WonderCon has to offer, what are you looking for right now, Ralph?
Well, Smith and I are both just huge Batman geeks, and we're living in a wonderful time because the 75th anniversary, there's a glut of Batman merch out there, and it's the re-envisioning of the 60s Batman. Every iteration now is being represented in this world. So if you're a Batman fan and you've got some Batman trivia and you want to bring it at Kevin and myself, do it now. And if you can stump us, we'll slap a pair of passes in your hands for one.
Between the two of you?
If you stump us, we will cry like a child who's just lost his parents in Crime Alley, and we'll make a vow to never miss a question again.
This is like taking a shot on two goalies right now. Like, it's almost impossible to get something through the net with these two when it comes to Batman. But if you want to give it a try, call right now with Batman Trivia. Not minutia, but trivia. Legitimate trivia at 1-800-520-1067. Ralph came in just bursting at the seams a few weeks ago when the announcement was finally made of his participation in this Batman 66. Tell me what this has been like for you, Kevin.
Oh, I got to write Batman at DC, so I've got to Jones on the character. But when they came at me and said, hey, you worked on Green Hornet over at Dynamite Comics. You've worked on Batman here at DC. We're thinking about doing a crossover between the two companies with the two characters and doing Batman 66. And as soon as 66 came out, immediately I was just like, there's one guy that we have to go get because this is the man for the job. I am not the man for the job. My buddy, though, Ralph Garman, like, lives this. Let's go get
he
Ralph.
Does.
And so for me, it was, Ralph, I've got an idea. And he was like, get me the wheel. And the Batmobile went in the direction that Ralph wanted to go.
For those that don't know, Ralph did show up to his own wedding in the Batmobile.
Yeah, oh. Yes, in the 66 Batmobile. That's what I was chauffeured
so
to my wedding.
That's really all you need to know.
It was a sweet gig for him, man. And he crushed it. Like, if you know the Batman TV show, like, I honestly, I would have done a poor job. Like, in retrospect, if it was me by myself, like, I got this. I would have had to go back and watch shows. You can't even get shows. Be watching them illegally or whatever, something yeah. like that. Or going from memory or just watching the movie, which has been the only thing available for a long time. But Ralph's got this, like, encyclopedic knowledge of yeah. Batman. Like, forgotten more than I'll ever know. It, particularly this version of Batman. So it was just a match made in heaven. Watching him rise, like, just to, you know, he could have just simply executed. Dude, totally elevated.
Yeah,
so
well,
much so that you look at the comic and you're like, oh my God, it's like watching a sequel to the Batman Green Hornet crossover that we watched on TV. It was pretty cool, man. When your friend does something, you're like, I thought he'd be good. I didn't know he'd be this great.
I would expect Ralph to fly in that particular situation.
Yeah. If there was going to be one comic book I ever wrote that would turn out pretty well, this would be the one.
He came over the boards. He's been preparing his whole life for this.
Oh my
After
God.
This, he drops the mic and passes.
But who cares?
My friend, when I announced the news on Facebook, my friend wrote me and said, just retire. You're done. Yeah. You got nothing else.
Doesn't get
tank.
Better.
Yeah. It was sweet, man. It was sweet.
So
those
what are
covers
you,
are nice.
What are you allowed to do and not do when you're dealing with a character like Batman? I mean, obviously there's got to be a certain amount of oversight, but then they also want to have some flexibility and let you kind of go in new directions too.
I had learned on working on Batman previously that there's like the sky's the limit, but there's definitely parameters and they will remind you. I
sure.
had a scene in one of the in Batman the Widening Gyre storyline I did, and Bruce Wayne keeps going to this island with Silver St. Cloud and having these mini vacations during the day, and then they jet back to Gotham and he fights crime at night, and he's trying to live this somewhat normal life, have a relationship. So he's on the island, and he goes for a swim after, like, all they do on the island is presumably have sex. Then he'll go out. He's Bruce Wayne. He's Batman, so he'll go out and swim and train still. So as he's just swimming in the water off this island in the Parakeet, all of a sudden, he hears, who's Dee Dee? And you turn the page, and it's Aquaman. And he's sitting on top of a narwhal. And Bruce Wayne is swimming next to him. And he's like, Arthur, what are you doing here? Because he's Aquaman. And he's like, the dolphins alerted me because they heard a woman screaming, Dee Dee, Dee Dee. They heard someone screaming, Dee Dee, who's Dee Dee? And then Bruce Wayne goes, if you must know, like, Dee Dee is the nickname that my partner gave me. And then Aquaman goes, Robin calls you Dee Dee? And then DC Editorial goes, you cannot even come close to inferring that Robin and Batman have any sort of relationship.
Oh, I'm sure.
That is not on the up and up.
I'm sure they have a lot.
And I'm like, I wasn't talking about Robin the boy. I'm talking about Robin the man, the 18 Titan. You know what I'm saying?
And they just shook their head no, and you went back and changed it.
There's a line. So when you work on
They've
Batman.
They've been fighting that since 1957.
Forever,
rumor, you know?
Forever. Yeah. So with this, with 66, no illusions whatsoever.
All right.
Nothing like that, which is my stock in trades. That's why I didn't really work on the book. I said, Ralph, without those D jokes, I'm ruined. So.
Take it and go.
Go.
Well, Ralph, did you?
Batman
did you
fart? How am I going to write this thing?
Ralph, did you bump up against anything you couldn't do with the Caped Crusader in your hands?
Well, it was pretty easy. This iteration is pretty well established in terms of the tone of the series and what they did in the series. I mean, there's a template that's set, and they want you to follow that more or less. They want to give the readers the feeling like they're watching an episode.
Sure.
And then you expand on it, and you add your own elements to the character and stuff like that. But the hang-up was legally... because of what they've gone through to get the DVD box set ready to go, they had to get the likenesses of many of the actors from the series to be able to use them in merchandise or in comic books or things like that.
I see.
So, you know, they've cleared Adam West and Burt Ward and the villains, some of the villains, that you can reproduce their likeness in the comic book. But some of the actors who performed in the series, they have not cleared those likenesses.
Ah.
So you're constantly running up against, all right, can I use this character? Can I use that character? Will the reader recognize them when the artist does a version that doesn't really look like the guy on the show?
So Chief O'Hara is a black dude now.
Yeah, Chief O'Hara is black. He's got a big afro. And he's a woman. But other than that, everyone's going to see all their favorite characters again.
All right, another quick break here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Then we're going to hear some Batman trivia. Who can stump both Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman? I'm going to be amazed if we give away any tickets to WonderCon, but we'll try right after this on Kevin. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Don't forget, we got Coachella tickets for you at 9 o'clock this morning, like we do. Also, Adam Carolla joins us next hour. There's a lot going on in the world of our friends Ralph Garman and Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith is going to be doing an evening with at the Ontario Improv. Tickets still available at improv.com for 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Then you guys have the sold-out Babylon at 10.
Right.
And then the following Friday, on the 18th, you're going to be at the Hollywood Improv. Some tickets still available for that show for the 10 o'clock Hollywood Babylon, if you want to check that out as well. But
yeah,
right now...
we've been gone for a while from Hollywood, so Aston's come back, so we're going to be there.
there next Friday.
Yeah. Hey, can we give Jason a quick shout
out?
Sure. He's not playing anywhere, but it just recently on Twitter, there's a guy named Diphalic Dude. He was a man on Reddit who they did a chat with. He has two.
I saw that guy.
What is the word that you're allowed
his
to
two
use?
Penis. Oh,
penis.
Penis.
Oh, yeah. Two penises. Two peni. Right. Both absolutely work. Yeah. It's fascinating. Mm-hmm. Go look it up right now on
and
Google.
Jason has that?
Jason, I wish. We've been buddies so long. That dude in his Reddit Q&A was, they were like, people asked him anything. And he was great. Thank the Lord for Reddit. You can ask a man with two penises all the questions you've ever always wanted to know. And one of the questions I asked him were like, what celebrities would you do it with? And number one was James Franco, I believe.
Uh-huh.
But like a weird out of the blue number two was Jason Mewes.
Come on.
Yes.
Why is that weird? He's on all of our lists.
He said something about his jiggly butt or something like that. But this was months ago. Just this morning I saw a tweet from this guy where he goes, just watch Zach and Miri, froze it on the Jay scene. There's one point in the movie where Jay is completely naked walking out the room, and then he bends over and you see everything.
Right.
And he goes, made quite the mess.
Oh. Why would you bring that in here
just
to us?
There's two. One step too far.
There's two. Anyway, back to the quiz.
Trivia, please.
If you want to go to the 27th annual WonderCon next weekend at the Anaheim Convention Center, all you have to do is bring your Batman trivia and stump Ralph and Kevin. All right. Batman trivia at 1-800-520-1067. They say they're taking all comers here, Kevin. They don't care. So let's just do them in order and start with line one and Ruben.
Hi, Ruben.
Hi.
Stump Kevin and Ralph.
All right. In the Nightfall story arc.
I don't know any of the words to the question or the answer, but that's apparently correct. Let's go to Matt on line two.
If we could encourage our listeners to not use the F word, it would make it sound better.
That bummed him out. He thought he had us.
He did. Oh, he had you. He was super confident.
We were just talking about that right before we went on the wonderful immediacy of radio.
Yeah, it was. Hi, Matt.
Morning, guys.
What's up, Kevin and Ralph?
In Batman, Inc., who killed Damian Wayne?
It was Leviathan, wasn't it?
It was the heretic, the adult clone of Damian.
I was just about to say, I didn't get to go.
I was about to say that, too.
I was about to say heretic, but I was leaving my partner to take Leviathan. Right. And as per usual, my anchor of a partner
let you down.
Brought us down.
Let's give it to Matt. Matt.
All right.
Congratulations.
Matt has won his way into WonderCon.
You guys might want to
collaborate on your answer before you answer.
Take a minute. Let's take a beat, for God's sakes.
All right. It was Pride goeth before a fall.
All right. We'll learn now. Mike,
hi. How's it going?
Good, we are doing Stump, Kevin, and Ralph.
All right. Big fan, guys. Who are the creators of Ra's al Ghul?
Well, that would be Denny O'Neill and Neil Adams.
What is Ra's al Ghul? I thought we were talking about Batman.
Come on,
he's
man.
He's the super villain.
Yeah, he's the villain. Liam Neeson. In
the first one?
Yeah. But he's been in the comics since the
70s. Begins? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So no tickets for you.
No tickets for you.
Let's go to Peter. Hi there.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
A question is, what's the first appearance of Robin?
Detective Comics.
Detective 27 is Batman's first appearance.
Yeah. 38. I think it's 38. Detective Comics 38?
Yep.
Character find of the century.
That is really scary. Thank you, Peter. All right. Let's go to Wayne. Hi there.
Wayne.
Good morning. Hi.
Hi. Stump, Kevin, and Ralph.
Okay. Before Damian Wayne, Batman and Talia al Ghul had another child. What was the name of the one-shot comic that appeared in?
Oh, it hit me with a one-shot.
Yeah, that seems like minutia.
Is it a one-shot comic or is it a one-shot graphic novel? Was it Batman, Son of the Demon?
That was it.
Ah! Unbelievable.
Well, I would like to correct. Number one, that's not a comic book. That was a graphic novel, a hardcover one.
You already
got
it right.
And also, that baby is the same baby.
Yeah.
As per the writer Grant Morrison, he's like, I took that baby and just kind of went with
this. How many ways do you want this guy to be wrong?
I just want to step on his neck and put him. Did anyone watch Turn, the show on AMC?
No, I taped it.
I haven't seen it yet.
It opens with a bunch of dead colonists in a field, and it's one guy's job to walk around with this gigantic bayonet. And just make sure they're all dead. So you see some people like, and he just puts the bayonet right in their back, pushes their face
down.
So
that's what you were doing to him?
That's what I was doing to that guy.
All right, Justin, at your own risk, Stump, Kevin, and Ralph.
All Hey, guys. So hey. In the 90s animated series, what happened to Poison Ivy's victims when she kissed them?
In the 90s animated series? In Bruce Timm and Paul Dini world?
Yeah.
This is TAS we're talking about. All right.
Sure, TAS.
This is your wheelhouse, guys. This is, but I mean, it sounds like a trick question. What happens?
Did they turn into plants?
No, it wasn't that, but there was like the toxic pheromone transfer. It didn't make them like her slaves. I'm going to say it poisoned them. It killed them?
Paralyzed them. No, they couldn't kill people on screen, so it turned them to wood.
Turned them into wood.
Wow. Plants or something.
Oh, my Lord. Not a highlight of that series for me.
All right.
Justin, although, you're going to WonderCon. Well done.
Involves wood as well.
All right. We have what? One more pair?
One more pair. All right. Let's go to Tyson. Hi.
Hey, guys. So Detective Comics 27 was mentioned earlier.
Yes.
My question, what is the date? Well, what is the year in the upper right-hand corner?
What year did it come out?
27.
27 came out in May of 39.
I knew you'd get the month, too. Damn it.
He sounded like a Batman villain who was just like boiled by Batman himself.
All right. Paul is up next. He may have to be our last call looking at the clock here. Paul, you're on with Ralph and Kevin. Batman trivia. Good luck.
Very good. What actor played two different Batman villains?
What actor played two different Batman villains?
You're talking about the TV series, it sounds like, right?
The series, yeah, or is this the movies?
Changed his question.
One in the series and one in the animated series.
Oh, one in the series and one in the animated series. Oh, I know this.
Okay. Somebody sounds like they're going to get stumped here.
I'm not going on record with the answer, but I'm going to work it out with my partner.
So this is not the answer yet?
This is not the answer.
So this is one on the live-action TV series and one on the animated series, you're saying?
The guy who played the voice of Mr. Freeze in the cartoon, I believe, was also an actor who may have been on Batman.
Michael Ansara was never on the series, on the regular series. John Astin, maybe? Could John Astin have done the Riddler?
I don't remember him ever doing a voice.
We're going to need an answer, gentlemen.
You got me. Who is it?
Roddy McDowell.
Roddy McDowell, of course!
The bookworm and the Mad Hatter.
The bookworm and the Mad Hatter, you guys.
What's wrong with you, the Mad Hatter?
Now I know what it feels like to have a bayonet pushed in my back.
That was a great question.
Yeah, well done, yeah. Oh,
nicely
man.
Done, Paul. You're going to WonderCon.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you for playing the game.
Stump.
Thank you, Lisa. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 7:54.
So now it's time for Hollywood Babylon with Kevin and Ralph, except without the alcohol, without the weed, and without the language, right?
Yeah. Well, without the alcohol and language. I can't speak for what Kevin was doing in the parking lot of the station here.
I'll tell you what I was doing. I was correcting the past. I have a tweet right here from an Incrediman dude, which means it's legit.
Right.
Yeah.
He says, Kevin Smith, Ralph Garman, in the animated series, Poison Ivy didn't turn people to wood by kissing them. It was some drink and then a gas that did. That.
Oh.
So we were right.
We were right.
Let him have his tickets, but bayonet that dude in the back.
Right?
Bayonet for you, sir.
I think Kevin cared a little more about this game than we were hoping.
A belated bayonet for that man.
You know, when I hang out with Kevin, invariably, I will hear people come up and say, how do I get to be a writer? I'm a writer, too. You wrote, you're a writer. I want to be a writer. Give me advice, give me advice, give me advice.
And we say, stop saying the word writer so much.
Right. Use that word less.
Well, here's your advice. This is pretty cool. NBC has announced they're looking for new ideas for sitcoms. And so they're going to run a national campaign which will offer up-and-coming amateur writers from around the country their chance to pitch NBC their sitcom ideas.
Finally. I think this is a great idea, sure. Man. You know how many people sit there, watch TV, and go, sure. Like, I'd come up with a better show than this. Here's your chance.
And most of them are wrong.
Yeah,
but sure
now
are.
They'll find out.
But we'll find out.
I mean, and maybe some are going to rise to the top.
Yeah.
Like, this is like, think about the dude who was like, the stuff my dad says, but not stuff,
right.
Aggregated into a show. Didn't last very long, but like, that's
now he's got a second show.
Bingo.
Surviving Jack.
Why not open it up to the world? Hey, that's what Clerks was. It wasn't a contest where people like give us your ideas, but it was like, I'm a dude not from the industry, I got an idea,
right.
This allows people maybe don't have enough like money to do it themselves or something, like they could do it through the NBC system. I think that's smart of NBC.
The event is called NBC Comedy Playground, and if you go to NBC...
I think that's a terrible name.
It's a horrible name.
Oh, my Lord.
Sounds like a place where a guy with a white panel van would be hanging outside of school with
says free ice cream. Chase that van, kids, with a policeman.
A line of Rolos leading to the back of the door.
And a
cargo net.
I don't know how they got me. These Rolos sure are good.
NBCComedyPlayground.com. You go on there, you submit to at least up to two pitches via video, and then what NBC is going to do is they will choose 10 finalists based on those pitches. NBC will then fund each finalist to produce a pilot.
Done.
10 pilots.
Smart. Wave of the future. This is the Marvel Comics of network moves right now. Marvel Entertainment, I should. The Marvel movies of TV. My analogy fell apart.
I don't understand what you're saying.
First through the door, and every other network, if they're not thinking about doing this immediately, is back in the Stone Age. Open it up to the audience, folks. You'll find brilliant ideas make billions of dollars off the backs of people with just as strong ideas as David Kelly.
And you know what's encouraging is that this will steer away from the network concept of, oh, they have a hit with that family show over there. Now we have to do an exact replica of that family show to try to capture that audience.
I agree.
You're going to get some originality out of whatever stories these people have to tell. Which
I'm going to sell them on my idea about a guy who turns another guy into a walrus. It's going to be an awesome TV show.
That's ridiculous. Comedy. Nobody would ever pick that up.
You got a week to sell that one, my friend.
Now, of course, they'll have 10 finalists. 10 pilots, no word on whether they will actually ever choose any of them and put them on television, but look, you got a shot, right?
I'd be willing to bet they will.
And it costs them very, very little. Right. Think about this process. Normally, to develop a TV show, they bring some talent in, they meet with the talent, then their agents go to work on the network and be like, you got to pay my guys this much or my girls this much and stuff. All this, they're going to skip that entire process.
This is like Shark Tank is what it is.
Bingo, yep. For TV. Well done.
I don't know if you've seen it yet. It's available on iTunes. Where else can they get the Groovy Movie? Jay and Silent Bob
Super Groovy Cartoon Movie? Yeah. It's going to be hitting iTunes soon, I guess, right?
Soon? Yeah. Hilarious R-rated animated film that our buddy Jason Mewes produced and Kevin wrote, and I do a little voice acting in. Very entertaining, and I like to think that it was you guys that created the new wave of R-rated animated films that's hitting the market.
What? Why, there are
what
some?
What else is coming out?
There's another one coming out. Seth Rogen is heading up with his crew. About a sausage who falls out of a shopping cart in the supermarket and with the aid of some new friends tries to get back to these aisle before the 4th of July sale. It's called Sausage Party. Seth will be doing one of the voices along with James Franco, Jonah Hill, Kristen Wiig, Michael Cera, Edward Norton, and David Krumholtz. Good just Lord. Added to the cast, Salma Hayek as Teresa the Taco.
All right. Okay. I like all those words.
That is a taco I would eat.
Yes.
No matter what aisle it was in at the market. I'm just saying, it sounds delicious.
Agreed.
I like tacos.
Oh, man, more R-rated comedy. Like, why is it that we have to, they only have to be PG and G and stuff like that?
More make animated, it R. Yeah.
For adults, who watches this stuff? Frozen doesn't get to, you know, the highest grossing animated film of all time on the backs of children.
Right.
A lot of adults into it as well. And some of us like to hear dirty words coming out of horses' mouths and little sausages. So, great time to be alive.
I've never thought about hearing a sausage curse, but I'm in.
Yeah.
Those guys are smart, man. Like, think about it. They came up, like, through the Apatow system. Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg in the last few years have just razzled their destiny in their own hands. And now they're just like, let's make R-rated cartoons. Let's
but
do
I'm
it.
Saying, James CG, though. Super Groovy Movie
You're very
started
kind.
The whole thing.
You're very
brought
kind.
Back the R-rated animated comedy.
Revolutionary. Yes. I don't think so.
Would
but
you
still,
say he's the godfather?
Yes, I say he's the godfather.
I'll take Smodfather and we'll move
okay.
on. Okay. No, I have nothing to do with those are just guys that grew up watching stuff going, once again, this is kind of like that audience we were talking about. They sat there watching movies going like, well, if this is funny, I think I could be funny. Why don't we do this? And then got into a position of power and were like, let's not do it like all about how much money we can make, although they are, you know, capitalists as well. It's more about like, let's do an R-rated cartoon in CG, like, yeah, you know, a 3D cartoon. So I applaud that, man. I like that guy. He's such a good guy.
Today, well, he taught you how to smoke weed. That's why you
he
love
did.
Him.
He did. They gave me the gift of weed. I'll see any Seth Rogen movie from now until the end of
He's
time.
He's a good teacher.
I even watched the movie with Barbara Streisand, man. Guilt trip. Because I was like, that's my boy.
You are
He's a
loyal.
Prophet.
You are loyal, sir.
Oh, he's my. I don't know if he's my Jesus or John the Baptist. He's one of them, but he got me there.
He's your burning bush. That's what he is. Today's celebrity birthday is John Madden, the sportscaster, 78 years old. Steven Seagal, 63. Peter McNichol. Janusz.
from Ghostbusters 2 and many other projects. He's 60 years old. Babyface is 56. Brian Setzer's 55. Orlando Jones turns 46. Charlie Hunnam. Oh, that's a man right there, that Charlie Hunnam.
Jax
from Sons of Anarchy. He's 34. Andre Ethier from your Los Angeles Dodgers is 32. Mandy Moore is 30. Haley Joel Osment.
Is his birthday today?
Celebrates his birthday today. One of the stars of Tusk.
He's amazing in that movie. And an excellent interview. Have you guys had him in yet?
Yeah, we have. We had him on for Spoils of Babylon. He was so much fun.
He's erudite as hell and entertaining. Great guy to talk to. He should be doing a podcast.
Look up erudite.
Okay, back to you, Ralph.
He's 26. I'm Ralph Garman, and he's Kevin Smith. And we walk the show business.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Got Coachella tickets for you in less than an hour right here on The Kevin and Bean Show. And if you want to go to the 2014 MTV Movie Awards, are we doing this right now? We're accepting calls. People
going, just for cool. I mean, if you want to, a little early, but go ahead.
We've got to be on hold. On hold for a few minutes, but if you want to go, we got a game you can play to win your way into this Sunday's MTV Movie Awards. They'll be airing, of course, live on MTV. They'll be from the Nokia Theater. Conan O'Brien is your host. You got Eminem and Rihanna, who are also going to be performing their monster song. Jared Leto is a presenter. Megan Fox will be there. Jenna Brewster. A lot of good stuff. A lot of big celebrities. You can call now 1-800-520-106, and we'll play a game for you in just a few minutes.
Congratulations again to Psycho Mike.
Yeah,
who tweeted
baby, huh?
This morning, "I'm a dad." Frightening and yet exciting information.
Terrifying.
That does sound like a horror movie, doesn't it?
So we've got a little bit of a problem, and I don't know how to handle this, but we may have to ask our listeners at some point for suggestions. Ugh. What do you do for a guy who has 10,000 pets that he insists on taking with him everywhere he goes? What do you do with that guy?
I have good relationship with my aunts.
What's going on with you as the king of the ants, Kevin?
The station has an ant problem. Yeah, it's not me.
Let's dissect why the station has an ant problem.
All right.
Let's start with that topic.
The ants have been around
for brought that up.
Years.
Yes, they've been around
and
here and there.
And so all of us do our best to try to make sure that we don't encourage the ant problem anyway.
Right.
We try to discourage the ant population that has taken over our radio station. So you know what most of us don't do? We don't have our lockers in the morning show office and throw cookies in there. That's what we don't do. We don't leave cookies at the bottom of our locker so that when we open up that same said locker, hordes of ants come pouring out of the locker.
It was a locker full of ants.
Yes, it was.
And whose locker was that, Kevin?
It was the one just above beer mugs, I think.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
And whose name is on that locker?
That's mine, Kevin.
Who leaves cookies just unattended in a locker?
Unwrapped in any
cookies.
Way, really. Just a little paper bag.
I like this cookie for later. I'll throw it in my locker.
I was going to eat it the next day.
You don't just leave it laying in a locker.
Well, why not?
What are you, in grade school?
No.
You put a cookie in your cubby hole for after nap time?
Yeah, it worked in grade school. It should work now.
Kevin, yes, were you aware that K-Rock had an ants problem before you decided to leave unwrapped food in your locker?
We have had problems with ants for 5 years, I think.
So yes. I'm going to take that as a yes, sir, witness on the stand.
Yes.
You were aware of the ant problem. Okay,
yes.
So did you think that leaving the cookies in your locker would improve the ant problem or make the ant problem worse?
That obviously never entered my mind.
Obviously.
I can't say one or the
That's
other.
That's the
because
stunning part. You didn't say, well, I won't leave this naked cookie lying here because the ants would love to eat this.
But it's higher than they can jump.
This would be ant bait. That never dawned on you, did it?
It didn't occur to me that the next day when I showed up and opened my locker, I would be hit with a wall of ants. But then I did the right thing and I threw the cookie away.
Yes. What Kevin did is he threw the cookie away. And then he took out this giant folder he had that was covered with ants and went over to the trash can on the other side of the room where other people had responsibly thrown away their food and then started brushing all the ants off and dumping them into that trash can.
And that trash can was right next to Ralph's desk.
Yes, yes, that's where that trash can was, right next to my desk. So the ants fed on whatever garbage they could find in that trash can and then said, oh, we need a walk to work off this big meal. Let's crawl out of the trash can and just invade every nook and cranny
of Ralph's
desk.
You can't blame all of the ant.
Let's live in the keyboard. Let's
population.
Go into his drawers. Let's go onto his
desk, onto his screen, on his computer. Let's just take over that. Because luckily, some nice man gave us a lift from this side of the room to this side of the room.
So you're basically, you're chumming the waters is what you're doing. You're insisting on a shark attack at this point, Kevin.
No, I was just brushing off my notebook.
But why would you spread the ants around?
What am I supposed to do? Put them back in my locker?
Well, let's try to contain them until we can get
you
a trained,
contain that.
A trained
was,
professional
was
to
five
kill them.
Billion ants
right,
in there.
So we have to spray whatever's in there has to get sprayed.
I don't want my stuff sprayed. There's cookies in there.
What an asshole.
Adam Carolla joins us for This Week in Rage in minutes. Coachella tickets at 9 o'clock. Right now, though, let's take care of this business. The 2014 MTV Movie Awards are this Sunday at the Nokia Theater. Conan O'Brien is your host. If you want to win tickets, you can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. Although, I don't think this game is very easy to win, is it?
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Mr. Announcer Man.
Good morning, Kevin and the...
So what are we doing here today? It's pretty easy, right? Am I wrong
it's
about that?
It's the hardest game in the world!
Oh, it's hard. Now, what makes it so hard?
What we'll be doing is announcing names of movies that have been nominated for an MTV Movie Award. All you need to do is identify that movie. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot. They'll all be backwards!
Yeah!
All right, well, that does sound difficult. So, in other words, we'll go to our first contestant, and then we'll tell him, for instance, that the first movie he's going to be hearing backwards is nominated for Best Fight. He'll listen to the title backwards. He just has to tell us what it is forwards. It's as simple as that.
Just that simple.
Should right. I try and explain it again, too, or do you think we've got it covered?
I think we got it.
Dee Dee, good morning.
Hello.
First up is Dee Dee. She's a student at Rio Hondo Community College. Go Dingoes!
All right, I'm not sure it's the Dingoes. So Best Fight is the category you'll find this movie nominated in for the MTV Movie Awards. Listen up, we'll play it for you backwards. You tell us what it is forwards.
Sweetness, nickness, I love the worst number.
You get it two times. There's the second time.
Sweetness, nickness, I love the worst number.
What is the name of that movie?
By the way, Best Fight is a great and pretty easy clue in this particular case.
Divergent?
Divergent.
Did it sound
Anchorman
like...
2, the legend continues.
Did it sound like Divergent backwards to you, honestly?
27 syllables in that.
So I'm going to give you a no, Dee Dee. Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is
We've
Court.
Got Laurent.
Lorenzo.
Ton.
Lorenzo's a railroad worker. Like they still have railroads.
Hi, Lorenzo.
Good morning.
All right, what's the category?
Best on-screen duo is what this movie's nominated for.
Balxeriabsilad.
American Hustle.
Dallas Buyers Club.
Nice try, though. Thanks for playing. Right. Who's next, Mr.
This Master? Game is not very easy.
It's the hardest game in the world! Next up is Corey. He's a produce truck loader, like they still have produce.
All right, Corey, this film is nominated for an MTV Movie Award this weekend for Best Male Performance. Listen up.
Here's Salva Flowub.
I would say The Place Behind the Pine. The Place Beyond the Pine.
The Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh. Hey, no not puns. A bad guess, though. I mean, he definitely had the cadence of it, right? But not so much with you.
Next up is Tanya. She works in sandwich.
It does say the words works in sandwich.
She's a pickle.
Shop just got added.
Oh, shop. That's completely different.
Works in a sandwich shop.
Tanya, how have you been doing listening on hold to the other contestants?
This is impossible.
It's the hardest game in the world.
It is pretty hard. We did warn you it was going to be hard. All right, this one is a very, very prestigious movie. It has been nominated for the big award, Movie of the Year. So listen up.
Beelzebub evil out.
One more time.
Beelzebub evil out.
The Hunger Games.
12 Years a Slave.
Oh. It's hard.
We are not getting a lot of winners.
This game is hard. It's a hard game.
Next up is Sarah. She's in human resources. Sex trafficking.
Hi, Sarah. How's the world of sex trafficking?
Not what I do, but I'm sure it's doing well.
Sure. Okay. All right, here's, again, a good clue when you think of the great female performances in movies in the past year. That's the category this film is nominated in.
Hurry off and get snack. Smeagrig in the hut.
One more time.
Hurry off and get snack. Smeagrig in the hut.
The Hunger Games Catching Fire?
The Hunger Games
Catching Fire. Well done. Give her all the tickets and we can be done.
We have three pair, though. We can't do that, can we?
Congratulations, Sarah. Well done. All right, let's try to squeeze in a couple more winners, Mr. Announcer Man, before we got to go.
Next up is Jacob. He's a student at a private school. Ooh, smell me.
Is that what they say?
Yeah.
Jacob, are you ready?
Hi.
Are you wearing your school uniform right now?
I don't have to wear one.
Okay, wow. That's not much of a private school, is it? All right, here we go. Best Scared as S performance. Best Scared as S performance is this film.
He's a blur.
Again?
He's a blur.
Is that World War Z?
World War Z.
Nicely done.
Okay, that education is paying off for you. All right, we got time for one more call.
And we have one more pair of tickets.
Next up is Tim. He works at a trophy store. I love that one with the bowler on top.
All right, Tim. This is the category. Best shirtless performance. Mm. Best shirtless performance in this film.
One
more time.
Oh, boy.
Well, I'm going to
have to go with American Hustle.
4. The Dark World.
Oh, sorry.
Oh. Yeah, not even.
See, because he's got no shirt on. He's Thor, for God's sakes. Hey, thanks for playing. Sorry you didn't win. That game was hard, Mr. Announcer Man.
Turns out it's the hardest game in the world.
Our friend Adam Carolla is back on the TV, by the way. He's got a show Sunday nights at 10 on the Spike Channel. It is very entertaining. It's called Catch a Contractor. Although I don't think Adam rubs it in enough to the bad contractors. I think he's actually too civil to them.
Really? What, do you want to punch him?
I don't know, just something. I mean, just feel like, make them feel bad. Do something. I don't know. And you can also still donate to fundanything.com/patentroll if you want to help Adam fight back against the beasts that are trying to shut down podcasting. The Ace Man joins us each week at this time for Kevin and Bean's This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting at 3, working my way up to number 1. First off, had a great time at April Foolishness. I looked at the rundown on Saturday, and I said, let's see, what do we got? Doug Benson, Adam Carolla, Jim Jefferies. Good. I don't want to follow Jim Jefferies. That guy's an animal.
Right.
Doug's going to rip a bong load. He'll get out there. He'll be funny. But he's not going to tear up the stage like Jim Jefferies. I've seen that guy do stand-up. Then I show up at the gig. I'm standing off in the wings. We're watching somebody with crazy hair do comedy. And
Tim
Ice, who probably shouldn't be tucking his shirts in. And I say to Doug Benson, so I guess it's you, then me, then Jim. And he says, nope, they've changed the order up. Jim's going out next, then you'll be going out, then me. And
just
I thought,
you wanted.
It's my fault for caring. I should have never cared.
You know what's funny, Adam, is that we dealt with all of the comedians, and a lot of them are not scared, but worried about following somebody else whose style is too different or who might upstage them. I mean, it's really kind of a concern.
Yeah, for me.
So we effed you up instead of them.
I don't blame anyone but myself. I said at 3 that afternoon, well, I'm glad I don't have to follow Jim Jefferies. So that was me. Number 2, I don't know if you guys know, but I think this Saturday or Sunday we got a half marathon coming up.
Yes, that's right.
The reason I know we got a half marathon coming up is because I was driving down Hollywood Boulevard 2 days ago, and they said, be prepared for traffic. The street's going to be shut down. All right, marathon, fine. You prove something to yourself. You get a picture of you with that piece of tinfoil being put over you at the finish line, and you get to tell your grandkids you covered a marathon. Half marathon. By the way, if ever is there no one who's listening who's capable of a half marathon? If your car broke down 13.1 miles from civilization, do you think you just impale yourself on the hood ornament, or would you just walk until eventually you got to the gas station?
I think you'd make it, but it may take you a while.
All right, but it takes these guys a while too. A lot of these guys do it in 4, 5, 6 hours. All I'm saying is, you want to brag to someone that you climbed half of Mount Everest?
before. Oh, we were playing hoops, and I pulled back behind the 1.5-point stripe and drained one. I grabbed half a booby.
Yeah, it's not much of an accomplishment. And we really are starting to close down the streets for everything. I mean, last week, you remember, Adam, last Sunday, I think it was, a Wilshire was closed almost the whole thing because of people riding bikes. And it's just, I'm sorry, it's just not that hard to ride a bike. I was doing it when I was like 5.
The point is let's just pick a designated track, like a high school track. You can use my old North Hollywood High if you want. We'll call it douchebags who have something to prove.
Right.
And 3 times a year, you can go in a circle around the track as many times as you want. A full marathon, half marathon, 5K for ovarian cancer, ride your bike, whatever it is, just go down to North Hollywood High. You won't have to shut down the whole GD city. All right, and number one, I just had this thought. My God, it was a scary one. They had this whole thing in Isla Vista and the big riot in Santa Barbara with the kids hitting the streets and the cops hitting the streets and all the partying and all the stuff that's going on. And then I found out that the cops were firing foam bullets at them and rubber bullets. And then I realized, you know, we have 1,000 different kinds of non-lethal weapons now, the
right.
Tasers and tear gas and smoke pods and rubber bullets and rubber this and rubber that. And I just thought, imagine explaining this to an old-time Western sheriff. Because he'd be like, what's with all the rubber bullets? And you'd be like, yeah, well, we have these douchebags. And he'd be like, well, you got real bullets, don't you, son? And he'd be like, yeah, well, he's like, here's what you do. You pull your six-shooter out, you hold it in the air, and you fire one off. And then, like every Western movie I ever saw, when there was a bar fight, a riot, whatever was going on, the sheriff, one shot in the air, everyone stopped. And I would have to explain to him, oh, no, we have a new supercharged breed of douchebag who, even when you pull your six-shooter out, will keep walking at you with a Coke bottle, screaming with his shirt off, yelling, bring it. In which case, he'd say, well, then you get to shoot the guy, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's how they would handle it, right?
No, my God, I'm just think about the fact that these guys, these cops, have Glocks strapped to their hips, and that's not enough to get the guy to stop doing what he's doing. Like, I will stop immediately if I picked up a rock and I'm threatening to throw it at you and you reach for your Glock. I drop the rock.
Yeah. Right, that's pretty simple.
Strap on the knee pads and begin the oral.
I don't know about that, but
Okay, but what is the point where I just keep walking at you while you're pulling your Glock out of the holster?
Yeah, that doesn't usually happen.
Why aren't people more scared of guys with Glocks?
So with your
they're full of rubber bullets. That's why, Adam.
That's right.
Yeah. When you're president, police officers will just randomly open fire into crowds of protesters. That's
It'll
how things
it.
Will go.
It'll be one shot into the air like they would do in the old-timey Western days.
Right.
If that does not get your attention, then yes, you're going to get shot, and I'm fine with that.
All right.
One shot in the air, knock it off.
I like it.
You can follow the fine line of Adam Carolla podcasts and live appearances at adamcarolla.com. Whatever you do, don't miss the Ace Man this Sunday night at 10 back on Spike TV with Catch a Contractor. And be sure to check out the Podcast Legal Defense Fund. It's all up there at fundanything.com/patentroll or adamcarolla.com. Have a great week, Adam. We'll talk to you next time.
Great. I feel like you've got a little something extra to add to every song.
I do. I'm like a modern day Bobby McFerrin.
Good reference.
That's what the world needs.
That's what we need. A new Bobby McFerrin.
Let me tell you why I'm excited about our next guest coming in just after 9 o'clock. And it's not just because she has been behind creating a Kevin and Bean flavor of Cool House ice cream. That's awesome and all, and I'm excited about that, but that's not. She's in her 20s. She said, hey, I'm going to start an ice cream company. And has done that and has been successful with it. I mean, what a job, right?
That's amazing.
Yeah, as much as I love ice cream, that has never occurred to me.
Right.
I should start a company.
Because you forget that you ate it. After you eat ice cream, you're like, I like this. That's a star ice cream company. Oh, shiny.
distracted by something going by.
Natasha Case is the CEO and co-founder of Cool House Ice Cream. A lot of cool stuff going on with that company. It should be a lot of fun coming up next right after the top of there. What?
Cool,
what's so funny?
Cool stuff.
Yeah, he did it on purpose. Cool.
Not a joke. I did. That was completely unintentional. No. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday. What's happening?
I've seen the Kevin and Bean ice cream sandwich in the next room.
Oh, is it here already?
You guys, you know, you glossed over. You buried the lead, Bean, but you guys have an ice cream sandwich made in your honor that will be available to eat. You can eat Kevin and Bean.
Correct. Yes, that's right. That's awesome. It's quite an honor.
It is quite an honor. You guys are icons.
That's weird.
You guys are frosty icons. And I'm not kidding you here, but the wrapper?
Yeah.
Edible.
It is?
You can eat the wrapper.
Really?
Yeah. It's like, she's like Willy Wonka. She's like Willy Wonka in the next room. No, it's true. Kevin, I want you to eat the wrapper. I want you to eat the ice cream sandwich, and I want you to also eat the wrapper.
I'm being set up.
Not at all. Not at all, sir. I would not lie to you.
I do not want to spend Coachella weekend pooping wrapper.
They're playing Coachella, oddly enough.
Oh, pooping wrapper is
pooping
awesome.
Wrapper is great.
Well, I thought they showed a lot of promise on their EP. They're full-length disappointed.
little homegrown entertainment news. Wouldn't be fair if we didn't give a shout-out to the newest member of the Kevin and Bean family, Mike Catherwood.
Yeah!
He's a dad. He's got a new baby girl. Just happened this morning. Breaking news.
That little girl has no idea what's in for her.
No, she doesn't. She has no idea what's in for her.
You know what I mean.
I think you're going to say what she's in for.
Thank you.
Yeah. She has a name. We've got the name.
Adele Dazeem.
It's not Adele Dazeem. Although that would be the greatest
be awesome.
Name ever if Catherwood had named his baby Adele Dazeem Catherwood. I would never stop worshiping the ground he walked on if that were to happen.
Yeah.
No, but her real name is just as interesting.
Oh, I like the choice of the word and the delivery of interesting.
Please welcome to the planet Earth, Magnolia Moon Catherwood.
She's a bitch.
Oh, come on.
She was just born.
She hasn't done one bitchy thing her whole life. Magnolia Moon Catherwood.
Moon.
Now, Moon does not surprise me because we know that Mike's wife, Bianca, is a goddamn hippie. But mm-hmm. I don't know that I've ever heard of a human named Magnolia. Have you guys?
I only know
of
a bakery.
Off the top of my head, there's a TV show where there's a character named Magnolia.
Is Bianca on that TV show?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay. Then it doesn't make any sense.
What show, Lisa?
What's the one with Zoe Hart?
Sweet Magnolia?
Heart of Dixie?
Yeah, Heart of Dixie.
Oh, how about that? Okay.
What if
Magnolia?
Your name was Asshore?
That's, Maggie Moon Catherwood? That's fine. That's a pretty name. I throw my support behind the name.
You've already changed her first name, by the way.
Well, because no, but you don't ever call a kid with a name that long by the full name. Everything's shortened, right?
I mean,
they're going to call her Maggie, I would imagine, right?
Well, you know what? Maybe you should have named her Margaret. or Maggie, if that's the route you're going to take. I'm guessing if you're slapping Magnolia on a kid, that's for keeps. Maybe so. That sticks.
Maybe they'll call her Magnolia.
Magnolia. Oh, Magnolia. It's so good to have you back home, Magnolia. We have missed you all since the Civil War began. We have been wondering, oh, where is our young daughter Magnolia? Now here you are. Back here on the plantation, Magnolia. Have a mint julep and tell us of your tales of travel, Magnolia.
Let's try to get Mikey on the show tomorrow. Maybe we can ask him some of those questions.
Magnolia Moon.
Thank God for Bianca, right, though? I mean, thank God in this particular situation, because look at Mike. He's a dad.
Yeah, I know.
Psycho Mike.
It's terrifying. We live in dark times, boys and girls.
We do.
We live in dark times. You know how dark it is? We were talking a bunch about comic book stuff with Kevin Smith on the show earlier, and of course we're giving away WonderCon tickets all week long.
Right.
Dark times. Live in dark times.
Why? What's going on?
Archie. Good old Archie Comics. Archie, the Riverdale gang, Archie mm-hmm. and Jughead and Betty and Veronica.
Right.
When everything was dark and miserable, we could always turn to the kids from Riverdale High, and they would make us feel better and yearn for a simpler, more innocent time, right? Yeah. Well, in the latest issue of Archie Comics this week, Archie was gunned down and murdered. No! Gunned down and murdered. No! That went south so fast! What the hell? What have we done?
We killed Archie.
No!
Just kidding. Right.
Stop it.
That's the comic book your kids could read. You'd have to worry about anything dark or scary and that. Oh, it's good stuff. Who will he pick? Betty or Veronica? Oh, gunshot to the abdomen. That's what he'll pick. What's happening?
That seems really sad.
What are we doing?
Seems a little rough for that one.
I know. It's just wildly out of place.
Why don't they just behead him?
Yeah. Oh, now Jughead's a cannibal. He lures little boys into his panel, man, and eats them. They've opened his fridge. They found body parts. Happening in Riverdale.
No, sir! It's not right.
Bad things.
Now we got more breaking news. More breaking news just handed to me, just literally off the wire.
They changed Magnolia's name?
They changed Magnolia's name. Now it's Dogwood. I'm sorry, different kind of tree.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. If they still use the wire, this would come literally off of it.
They don't.
They don't?
Well, go ahead.
CBS has announced the next host of The Late Show on CBS.
Is that right?
What is happening?
Replacing Letterman.
Letterman, of course, has announced his retirement as of next year.
Already? What, they're taking away like a year's worth of us speculating.
I don't know. But they have answered that question. We don't have to worry or wonder any longer. I guess they have a year now to build up the big first show.
Can I make a guess?
Sure. Have you seen the announcement?
I have not.
Well, okay, then I'll let you guess.
I have not either. May I make a guess?
Because you've seen it.
I have not seen the announcement, and I know that there were a lot of names that were being thrown about, and I don't know which one got it, but I'd like
Adele
to take it.
Stop staff.
Saying Adele Dazeem.
Who do you think?
This is Ed Asner.
Yeah, oddly enough, Ed Asner has been named the host of the CBS.
If I had to guess, I'd say Craig Ferguson.
Would you?
If I had to guess, I'd say Stephen Colbert.
You do have to guess, Kevin.
Okay.
And you'd be wrong.
I would.
Craig Ferguson is not the correct answer.
Colbert?
Stephen Colbert will be the host of The Late Show.
He's so great.
He's so great.
The host, writer, and executive producer, of course, of The Colbert Report will indeed to see David Letterman as the host of The Late Show.
How the only sad news about this is no more Colbert Report, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
But we get Steve in all his glory on CBS. I'm very excited. I think it's a great choice. He's hilarious and lovable and entertaining and a great interviewer. Even when he interviews in character as that Colbert character on his show, he gets great guests and he's really interested. He asks great questions. This could just a great, great answer to that.
It's not good for New York.
It is.
It's not good for America, and it's not good for the entire world.
It's good for all.
And so CBS, shame on you.
No, shame on CBS.
Shame on you, CBS.
It's good for everyone, sir. Good for everyone. The only sad part for me is, I think that'll probably mean that The Late Show will stay in New York City.
They
were trying to get it out to Los Angeles to help boost the economy a little bit. All those jobs that were on The Tonight Show have since gone to New York, and they were hoping to get a late-night show here in town on one of the big three networks so that we could...
They do have Jimmy Kimmel.
They got Jimmy, sure, but I'm just saying, it would be nice to replace those lost jobs with new jobs, but I'm guessing they'll probably keep it in New York because that's where Colbert's stationed.
CBS cares.
They sure do. Everyone gets a free prostate exam, too, at this announcement.
I've heard that.
Celebrity birthdays, just look it up yourself. I don't have the kind of time. The only birthday we care about is Magnolia Moon Catherwood.
That's right.
Yeah, Maggie Moon. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Congratulations to Ruth Aguilar from Los Angeles. Just picked up her 3-day passes for Coachella.
I'd say you're running out of time because, the thing starts tomorrow. So 5 o'clock this afternoon, you got them, and then we have them for you. Do we have them tomorrow morning at 9, or is that it? Today is the last day.
I don't know. I wish we would talk about this stuff off the air.
I really should have looked
into
that.
It would make more sense.
All right, let me say this. You are asked the question, you could only have one food for the rest of your life. There are only two acceptable answers. And this is not debatable, by the way. This is science. There are only two answers that are acceptable. One is pizza, and the other is ice cream. That's it. Those are the only two foods you're allowed to want for the rest of your life. And that's why when we heard Natasha was coming in from Cool House with Kevin and Bean ice cream, we said yes.
Yeah!
We said yes, because now there is Kevin and Bean ice cream. Hi,
it's
Natasha.
Science.
Hi there.
It is science. Oh, I could turn your mic on. That would help.
Wow.
My We're bad. Just doing
this
everything
is
wrong.
Operation.
My bad. I'm a little bit intimidated by you, Natasha, because you're one of those American dreamers, one of those go-getters who wakes up in the morning and makes things happen and starts companies and builds an empire like in your 20s. It's pretty remarkable what you've done with Cool House. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
How did it happen? How does one run an ice cream company?
I mean, it's definitely a lot of hard work, but it's a lot of fun, not going to lie. And we just kind of, wake up each day and I just want people to have the best ice cream possible.
But don't you look at the landscape and say, man, there's a lot of companies making ice cream.
We knew we had something different, one with our really unique flavors. Like we have a fried chicken and waffles ice cream that's, I've never seen anything like it. Plus we have this weird kind of architectural angle on our brand, which is that a lot of our sandwiches are named after our architects or architectural movements. So who's going to do that?
I wouldn't expect that to help.
Yeah, that's just right. Right. Also, kind of the truck angle has been a really great way to launch the business and grow the brand, bring that to different cities. And there's some cool sustainability components of our brand, which is that the sandwiches are served in edible wrappers, which we can print on with edible ink. So there's a cool kind of green component.
Wow, I love that.
Yeah, we just thought we were thinking outside the box. Hey, let's go for this.
So when you started out, were you still in college?
No, I was actually just less than a year out of grad school.
Okay. And I mean, how do you even go about making ice cream from scratch to start with? I mean, like most people wouldn't even know how to do it.
Yeah, we kind of, taught ourselves in the beginning, really just learning from some recipes that we would research. And it seems like a scary food to do, and a lot of people don't really ever try it themselves. But once you get the hang of it, it's really, you can have a lot of fun with it. It's a great canvas for experimentation. And now we actually have our cookbook coming out May 20th. So you can learn, too, all of our secrets and how to make ice cream at home. You'll see it's not too bad.
Book, by the way, is called The Cool House Ice Cream Book, Custom Built Sandwiches with crazy good combos of cookies, ice cream, gelatos, and sorbet. So when you started out, was it just you and some friends literally in the kitchen making ice cream and then loading it up into a truck and driving around the neighborhood?
Yeah, Freya, my business partner, and I started back in 2008, and we were making ice cream in our parents' kitchens, which they loved. They were so excited that we were leaving messes everywhere.
They'd make you leave some.
Yeah, right. Sticky floors.
Right.
We actually launched at Coachella. This is our 5-year anniversary coming up.
No kidding.
Yeah. We the truck didn't drive at that time, so we kind of scammed AAA a little and towed it to the desert.
The truck didn't drive. That's a strange problem to have with a truck.
We can reveal that now.
Okay.
So we dropped it off in the campground, and that's where we basically launched to 100,000 people over 3 days and kind of built a sort of a cultish following right off the bat. I would wake up. We would sleep from like 4 a.m. to 7 a.m., and there would be someone already waiting for a sandwich at 7 a.m. I wasn't even awake yet.
Oh, my gosh. And how big is Cool House now, Natasha?
So now we have 10 trucks nationally, 5 here. We have in also Dallas, Austin, and New York. We have 2 storefronts, Culver City right nearby and Old Town Pasadena. And we also have distribution in about 2,000 grocery stores in pretty much every state for our prepackaged line, which has been the biggest growth, actually.
Have you had any of the other ice cream companies like Ben & Jerry's or somebody like that come and try to buy you out to get rid of the competition?
Not at this moment, not yet, but I think that there could be some conversations down the line. We'll see. Or maybe we just buy them,
No, I like it.
Why are you not fat?
It's really a great workout to move around tubs of ice cream. I recommend that. Scooping is really good for
your
triceps. Yeah.
But if you're scooping into your mouth, not so good. Not so helpful.
Now, Natasha Case is our guest here. She's the CEO and co-founder of Cool House Ice Cream on Twitter at Cool House LA. You came to us, or your people did, a few weeks ago and said, hey, how about a Kevin Bean ice cream? So you guys asked for a bunch of suggestions of things that Kevin likes and I like, and you were able to put them together. And what do you have that's actually going to be available for sale for a week?
So it's 2 different cookies, I guess, because you're 2 different guys.
Look, yep. Our answer is pretty much conflicted everywhere. Bean likes what he likes. I like what I like. And there's very little crossover. So I'm surprised that you were able to come up with something.
We did our best.
Let's hear it.
We've got the double chocolate cookie.
That's me.
And then the ginger molasses cookie.
That's Bean.
That sounds yummy.
And our coffee and donuts ice cream in between, which is so good.
Wow.
Yeah.
That coffee and donuts, so ice cream. Good. Sounds awesome. It really is. Yeah. Now, so where can people get this? All the places you mentioned?
So our Culver City and Pasadena stores will be scooping it to order all week.
So you just go in and you tell them you want the Kevin and Bean ice cream, and they'll say which one, and you tell them which one, you get it.
Or they'll just stand there and look confused. It depends on
that's
how good
also
of a CEO
very possible.
I am, you know?
Sure. Tell us about the 5-year anniversary party. You got that coming up, and you're raising some money for charity too.
Yes, we're so excited. So on May 2nd, at the Unique Space in the Arts District downtown LA. So it's a Friday. We'll be having a huge fete for celebrating 5 years of Cool House. We are selling tickets for this event on Eventbrite, which we'll, I think you guys are sharing the link for. Mm-hmm. And it's just we wanted to just celebrate all the fun with people who love Cool House and want to have Pizzanista pizza and free range fried chicken. We'll have, of course, endless Cool House ice cream sandwiches. We have an open bar with
White
Russians, we got some margaritas. We have basically Pernod Ricard is sponsoring the whole bar, so we have kind of every type of spirit you could ever want. And then Golden Road Brewery is doing craft beer ice cream.
This
floats.
Is the best party ever.
Live music.
It is.
A DJ. It's just an ice sculpture actually is happening. Also,
a chocolate fountain.
We can work on that.
We only go to parties with chocolate fountains. All right, so you can go to eventbrite.com, and that's B-R-I-T-E, by the way, not how you'd expect to spell it, eventbrite.com, and you can just search Cool House, and you'll see that 5th anniversary party, which is going to be benefit to Nine Dots Children's Charities in Hollywood. That's coming up on May 2nd, right?
That's right, yes. And the charity is a very cool organization that helps underserved kids. So that's
how
that's
did
great.
You come up with the name Natasha Cool House? I forgot to ask you that.
It's it's a triple entendre. It happens to be that Rem Cool House is my favorite architect, so it's partially
Obviously.
Inspired by his name.
Of course, that was my first thought.
Right.
He's the guy who did the Washington Monument or the Eiffel Tower or something?
Not quite. You failed the Cool House test.
He's the guy that did the...
He did the Seattle Public
Library. Public Library.
That's right.
Right. I was just going to say that.
Kevin, could you not think of one architectural thing? You couldn't come up with one building, one statue, one sculpture, nothing.
Maybe not. Maybe that's possible.
You're on the spot, you know. And it's also named after Bauhaus.
Named after Bauhaus,
yes,
right.
Of course, obviously.
You got that. Right. And then this one's a little more of a stretch, but the ice creams are kind of like little cold houses with the cookie floor slab and the ice cream walls and then the roof. Or you could say the truck is like a cold house. So, the triple of the entendre is more of a
little are way too smart for us, Natasha. Way too smart. That's all there is to it. All right. You can find out all this information we've just discussed. The website is eatcoolhouse.com and again on Twitter at CoolHouseLA. But stop by the Pasadena or Culver City locations and ask for the Kevin Bean ice cream and then go to eventbrite.com to find out about the 5th anniversary party. So awesome to meet you. Thank you so much for our flavors. We're very flattered and very honored. We really, really appreciate it.
Of course. It's a pleasure and it was an honor to make them for you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming in. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:45.
Here's our favorite doomsday prepper now, Ralph Graham, with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, man?
Yeah, this is going to be tough. This is going to be tough at home.
Why?
Charisma Carpenter just tweeted me and asked me if there was room in the tent for her after the next big earthquake.
Yeah, well.
How do I break it to my wife that she's not going to be allowed in the tent?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to make that decision. You got to do it.
Well, I think you should bring up the option of all three of you in a very delicate way.
Uh-huh, sure.
And then when that gets shot down, now you're in trouble.
Yeah. Christmas says, I have two pets and an 11-year-old. Mm. I said, welcome. It's Christmas Carpenter.
You're definitely kicking some of us out, though, in that case.
Yeah, we need to redo the list. Who from the show is welcome? Now that I know Charisma needs a place to crash after,
now it's
after
down
the
to
big
zero.
One. So, thanks for listening, Charisma. We appreciate that. She's the best, by the way.
She is the best.
Big story of the day, not just entertainment, but it'll probably be the biggest news story of the day as well, unless they find that freaking plane.
What plane?
Stephen Colbert has been announced as the next host of The Late Show on CBS.
Can you guys remember a time? It seems like a year or two from now, the competition during that slot is going to be more difficult than it has been in history. Three great shows at the same time.
Well, it's just between Jimmy and Colbert, really.
Well, I agree, but I'm saying
Fallon's good. He does a good job, but this is a whole other.
But when you're talking about ratings, though, Fallon is still the king. I mean,
well,
he's going to be the one.
The Tonight Show, I think, will always be the
king.
The standard, right?
The standard of late-night television, and most people are creatures of habit, and those people who watched Carson watched Leno, and those people who watched Leno watched Fallon.
But Jimmy's carved out his own niche,
yeah. And Colbert, I think, will bring a brand new audience with him. Certainly, he'll bring everyone from Comedy Central, who watches the Colbert Report. They will come to CBS to watch him. But will Colbert now be up against Jon Stewart?
Ooh, interesting question. No, because isn't Stewart on at 10 here?
I don't believe so. I think he's on at 11 o'clock.
He is. He's 11, yeah.
11 o'clock.
Yeah.
How about that?
That's a half an hour show. So I guess they really won't be competing because I guess the time slot will be the same.
That's going to be interesting.
The Daily Show is just a half an hour. So.
Surprised that they made that decision so incredibly fast.
And then once Hollywood Babylon is on television, then they will all suffer. All the late night shows will just close up shop and all the ratings will go to that.
Well, I think that's a given. They're all just fighting for what's out there
Right. They're just scurrying to try to make a couple bucks before the big guns come.
Correct.
So that'll happen. Is this thing on?
Yes, it is.
Beans people are out in force. The cover of Rolling Stone has a nude Julia Louis-Dreyfus on it, celebrating her spectacular TV series Veep, which I just love, and tattooed on her back in a cheeky wink to her role as vice president is the preamble for the U.S. Constitution. What a document, huh? That Constitution. Let's hear it for the Constitution.
Come on, everybody.
Yeah. Great. USA.
I thought we were
USA.
Clapping.
As well, right there at the bottom, is John Hancock's signature, which is prominently displayed on her lower back. Well, some people have a problem with that because
they're un-American?
No, because John Hancock signed the Declaration of Independence, not the Constitution of the United States. And some people are pointing out that flaw and just ignoring the fact that Julia Louis-Dreyfus is naked. And they're just concerned with, oh, that's not historically correct. Who are those people, I wonder? I wonder if they celebrate daylight savings time or not.
Saving
people.
Yeah. Bean, you already wrote, I'm sure.
We could write a strongly worded letter.
That's what Bean did. He fired one off. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, by the way, who's a genius, took it all in stride and tweeted as her character on the show. Hancock signed Declaration of Independence, not Constitution. Yet another Mike F-up, dummy. Blaming, of course, Matt Walsh's character of Mike Kerr. Communications director on Veep, so.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
Did you watch the premiere episode?
I did. And
where everybody had to put their phones in the bowl.
That was so funny.
At the wedding.
So funny.
With Kathy Najimy. Just that, if you're not watching Veep, just correct yourself. Watch that show.
Yeah, you're doing it wrong if you're not watching Veep, for sure.
Indeed. You guys remember Doris Day? Does that name ring a bell to you?
Yes.
Love her.
From where? Take it easy.
Only Bean would
love
her.
How could you love her?
I have the Doris Day Rock Hudson box set of DVDs, Ralph.
Doris Day was one of the biggest movie stars in the world in the 50s and 60s.
So good. She was so good. All right, take it easy.
She also had a very successful singing career as well. She was a multi-million dollar record sales artist in the 50s and 60s.
You would know one of her songs at least, Kevin. She's the one who made famous Que Sera Sera, Whatever Will Be. That was Doris Day.
Que Sera Sera, Whatever Will Be.
This better be a hell of a story.
Well, I'm just saying, she has been out of the public eye for some time, self-imposed. She retired from show business and just walked away.
Okay.
Doesn't show up, doesn't do personal appearances, doesn't do movies, doesn't do nothing.
Interviews, nothing.
Nothing. She just lives. Surprisingly, I didn't even know she was alive.
Yeah, who knew?
90
She's
years
gotta
old.
She's got to be 90.
She's 90 years old.
Wow.
She just lives in Carmel by the Sea up there in California and has a big animal foundation. She's a big animal lover. She, you know, raises seals or something. I don't know what she does. But anyway, the point of the story is she's been out of the public eye completely to the point where many people think she's dead.
Right.
But her fans are hardcore. And every year they flock to her hometown of Carmel by the Sea to attend a party in her honor on her birthday. So all the fans get together this year for her 90th birthday, and they're all cheers and toasting their favorite movie star of yore and blah, blah, blah. Out of nowhere, who walks into the party? That's right, Doris freaking Day!
Yay!
By walks in, you mean drives in on a wheelchair.
Who knows? They rolled her in a carpet
on a
or something.
Gurney.
I have no idea how that happened. But imagine you're that person. You're that small cluster of people still holding on to the Doris Day fandom. And you're at this party, and then in walks your hero. In walks Doris Day herself. That had to be a shock for them.
That's pretty weird.
Right? The event organizers always raise money for her charity, the Doris Day Animal Foundation, and they raised $90,000 this year. And I guess she showed up to thank everybody and to, do some smack, do a little heroin with everybody.
I don't think...
She's a huge heroin fan.
I don't think you could...
Oh, yeah, she tied off.
Think
she was,
so.
She was having people take turns shooting up Doris.
I don't think that's
five
true.
$5 a shot, they were raising money for charity. It was a good time. Shoot Up Doris, by the way, is also playing Coachella this weekend.
It's a good band.
She's a bitch.
She is not. She is America's sweetheart, Doris Day. The Simpsons are going to be on FXX, the comedy arm of the FX network. FXX has picked up The Simpsons, and they, to celebrate, will be showing all 522 episodes of the series over a 12-day marathon.
Wow, that's a lot of Simpsons.
That is.
From August 21st through Labor Day, you will get to watch every episode of The Simpsons for 12 days.
Now, does this mean that it's not going to be on every other channel in America as it has been for years? Is FXX, are they locking it up exclusively now?
Yeah, let me look through the syndication contract here for The Simpsons and Fox.
What kind of details do you have there, Ralph?
Let me see if I can find the fine print of the exclusivity. Let's see. I think that's Chapter 8, Subsection 7, Roman numeral. Shut up!
I'm sorry. I thought that might have been interesting.
This may tie in, by the way, with another attempt to break the Guinness World's Book of Records record for longest continuous TV viewing, which is currently held by three guys who watched television for 87 hours at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas.
Amateurs here.
The previous record was set in 2012 by two guys who watched 86 hours of Simpsons reruns, actually, at the Simpsons Ultimate Fan Marathon that was hosted by Fox. So these guys all had the Guinness record for watching television continuously at 86 and 87 hours. No one could ever watch television longer than that. No one. No human being could watch television. No, I'm telling you, Kevin, now, no human being has ever watched television longer than these gentlemen did for these previous.
The King of Mexico watched for 100 hours.
I'm sorry, what?
And we messed up on the paperwork. So he has no record.
He has no credit.
But he did destroy them.
No credit for that record.
Not my fault.
No credit.
It was not.
It literally wasn't his fault. Yeah. Poor Dave. He did it twice, by the way. He did one for 99 hours and another one for 100 hours. He broke his own record, and neither of those records.
And we blew it both times.
Was ever accepted by Guinness.
You would think after the blowing it the first time, we would have made sure that we were thorough. Not the case.
That poor bastard, too.
Does Dave want to try it again?
By the end. No! No, I'm never doing it again. Yeah, no, never.
That's a bit of a sore spot.
He's already told us in no uncertain terms that's not going to happen. Wonder what channel he would like to watch, though, if he was watching a lot of television. What channel would that be?
We couldn't get that. It was, unfortunately, that
oh, damn it.
Tape was not clean enough.
Damn it.
It was stepped on. And
damn it.
We're very sad. So.
Damn it.
Nice.
There we go. Now we got it.
We'll have it for next time.
Celebrity birthdays, I'm out of time. Just look them up yourself, for God's sakes. Although we do want to say happy birthday to Magnolia Moon Catherwood. Mike Catherwood and his lovely wife Bianca had a baby this morning. Magnolia Moon Catherwood, a lovely little daughter. And apparently mom and daughter are doing well. Mike, not so much. Happy birthday, Magnolia Moon. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Tony Hale speaking of Veep.
Oh!
He's so awesome on that program.
Good!
We have Nick Frost tomorrow. We have the movie beat, and God willing, we're going to be broadcasting from the Coachella K-Rock House.
No, you won't.
Tomorrow morning. That will be happening. We'll see you tomorrow.